much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Lisa, what was your favorite part of the Tim Matheson interview? Was it when Kevin asked about Tim's dead dad?
You know, my father passed away a few years ago.
Oh, did he? It's a good thing he didn't have to see that then.
I knew it. I just wanted, I know. As soon as I said,
have you talked to your, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus. Well, it's a good thing he's dead then, so he doesn't have to see this.
That's kind of where he went.
You would never understand the horror that's going on. So it's good that he's dead, Tim. We're all really glad he's dead. We're happy he's dead.
That's not what I meant.
When do you plan to die, Tim? You see your whole family go.
Tim, don't you wish your father had died earlier?
Your mom's dead too, isn't she, Tim? We're pretty much an orphan now, aren't you?
Note to self, never ask Star about parents.
And now.
Have I ever showed you a picture of my dead dad?
No.
Oh, you've got to see it. He's super dead.
Our feature presentation.
How dead can you be?
That Tim Matheson piece is one of my all-time favorites,
yeah,
by the way.
That was great.
I'm glad we revisited that.
I was not a fan of that.
That's a classic. Every once in a while, we got to go back and play the greatest hits. Come on. Hey, party people, welcome on in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday. I got an amazing story. Look, I know that we joke offhandedly that all the crazy stuff happens in Florida, but all the crazy stuff happens in Florida.
It does. It's 80% Florida, 20% Washington State.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how it's possible that so many crazy stories could happen in Florida. Do you guys have a theory at all? Because Kevin's not exaggerating when he says 80% of the weird stories that we do are from the state of Florida. What do you think is going on?
Swamp people.
It can't just be a coincidence.
Could be the swamp people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to start telling you this story, and you, in your mind, try to connect the dots and figure out how it's going to end up with somebody being arrested for armed robbery, okay?
All right.
All right, armed robbery.
Amanda Linskett, a 26-year-old woman.
Had a gun.
Met,
you want to do this out loud or no?
No. Just in your mind, just try to figure out how it's going to end up in an armed robbery. Because it doesn't start out that way. Amanda Jean Linskett, 26 years old, met a man whose name has not been released when she and a friend visited a bar in Port Charlotte on September 3rd. So this just happened, okay? Later that night, the two women – try to follow because it's a very complicated story. Later that night, the two women went with the man to his home, according to authorities. Amanda's friend, the girl that she was at the bar with, and the victim reportedly had sex. Then the two women left, okay? So far, it's just a guy in a bar. He meets two chicks, takes them back to his place, has sex with one of them. They leave. Sounds like a pretty normal night, right?
All right, not so bad.
The man said that Linskin's friend said that she needed money, so he gave her $120. Later that night, he called the friend's cell phone, and they planned to meet up at a convenience store. Now, that strikes me as odd, because if you've met this chick in a bar, you've taken her back to your place and had sex with her, then given her $120, why are you agreeing to meet her later? Like,
yeah,
what's left?
Question one is, why? What are we doing there?
Yeah, meeting at a convenience store. So he arrives at the store. The girl that he had sex with is not there, only her friend Amanda, who, remember, had come back to his place but has not had sex with him. Okay?
It's always the friend. You know it.
He shows up at the convenience store. Amanda is there. The other girl isn't there. Amanda says to the dude that her friend had abandoned her and that she needs a ride. So they get into the car. She starts having sex with him while he's driving.
This is his best night ever.
No kidding.
So far.
This guy's like, I can't believe my luck.
What's he got left at this point is another question I have, by the way. No telling how long it was from the time he took the two girls back to have sex to the time he then later went to the convenience store to pick up Amanda.
Florida?
So she's having sex with him as he drives, which I think we could all picture. So then she asks the man, unclear in the article whether they're done having sex or if this is during having sex, she asks the man for cash also. He says, I've already given all of my money to your friend. I don't have any more money.
Right.
She pulls out a revolver and holds it up to his head.
Oh, my God.
While he's driving. He says he punched her in the face to get her to let go of the weapon, but while he was doing so, lost control of his car and crashed into a palm tree. His car that went flying through the air, skidding across two front yards.
Okay.
How's his best night ever looking now, Lisa?
Not as good.
Not as good.
He'd have known
it's
they were
still
hookers.
Pretty good, but not as good.
Amanda Lizkin, again, 26, who we started our story with, took off but was later arrested, is being held without bond and charged with robbery, charged with the armed robbery for trying to shake the guy down for cash. So he goes from meet two chicks in a bar, go back, have sex with one of them, to now I'm meeting this other girl at a convenience store. And now, wait, hold on. Now she's taking a nap in my lap, so things are still good. Right. Wait a minute. Now she's got a gun to my head, and I'm crashing into a palm tree and skidding across neighborhood yards.
I think overall that story is a giant win.
Do you?
Yeah.
That guy's going to look back on it, and he's going to go, well, I had insurance, got a new car, and nailed both girls.
I don't know if I feel like I read stories like this and I go, I'm not doing enough with my life. I think my life, I may need to move to Florida. I may need to pick up the tempo a little bit of my life and move to Florida.
Can you imagine Bean plus Florida?
That's pretty scary.
Oh, man.
Because I feel like a lot of things are going on in the world that I'm not a part of, and maybe it's time to
you would never be a part of something like that, ever, 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 ever. Because first of all, you'd never be at a bar. Second of all, if you were at a bar, you would take no one home.
That's true.
And I certainly wouldn't part with $120 for someone, right?
No.
We all know that. Although I might go to a convenience store. That's the one part of the story I might do.
No. If you're going to meet somebody, you don't meet them at a 7-Eleven.
No.
If that's the meeting place, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Just in general.
That state is so effing shaky, though, isn't it?
Wow.
What a crazy story. I mean, it's just bizarre, and we hear stuff like this every week from there.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on why they all come out of Florida, but they all sure seem to.
It's Florida, Washington, and Germany. That's your trifecta.
That is true. In that order.
Yeah.
Well, I do love this one, though. I enjoyed this one very much.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Choke on your lies!
We have Adam West on the program today.
Wow. TV's Batman.
TV's Batman.
Pretty impressive.
Talking about a big comic book convention that's in town.
Okay.
We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We have Petros Papadakis.
Fantastic.
Coming in to talk about college football. Can I hear your impression again, please, Lisa? We have W. Kamau Bell talking about his new TV show, Totally Biased.
He's funny.
He is funny. We have pity sex. You gave someone pity sex.
Yes.
Why did you do it? Did it work out well? What were the circumstances?
We just sometimes feel generous. And that, you are sometimes so pathetic.
That's why women are better than men.
Yes.
Right there. So that's coming up today as well. And highlights of Bean's favorite program.
If you say it, it means it might happen.
A half hour from now, just after 6 o'clock.
Yes, Kevin?
Bean has highlights of Honey Boo Boo. Which he loves.
I love it.
I love it, too, because I don't have time to watch it.
Exactly.
So I like to get the recap. Although we can't understand a word they say, but Bean tries to interpret the best he can. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman is here. Before we get to our first look at Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean show, Ralph, I'm going to say one word that's going to make you so happy you're going to squeal. You ready?
Squeal. He doesn't squeal often.
I don't squeal ever, actually.
He's not a squealer.
All right, here it is.
Okay.
Keviting.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Come on with yesterday.
Yes.
I know.
Come on with yesterday.
I know. I was going to lead off with it.
Others.
Yeah. Jack Burdett, our buddy who was a producer over at 30 Rock, is currently in New York working there and apparently listens to the show via podcast or streams it or whatever. But he's on board with the Kevining.
Yeah.
And so while he was on the set over there at 30 Rock yesterday, he imposed upon a few friends and asked them if they would mind doing a little Kevining for him while he shot some photos. So the first one he sent out was Jack McBrayer, who plays the hilarious Kenneth on 30 Rock. And I looked at his Kevining photo, and I was like, that may be the best Kevining photo ever. He totally captured
amazing.
The essence of Kevining in that particular photo. It's a remarkable replication of what Kevin is and was in that photo.
And I'd say a good high note to go out on.
That's what we all thought until our buddy sent out the next photo from 30 Rock with the very lovely, the very talented Tina Fey, Kevin.
Yes!
Yes!
Yeah.
Come on.
That happened.
Tina Fey, one of the biggest stars on television.
TV superstar Tina Fey Kevining on the set of 30 Rock.
She captured it pretty well.
She knocked it out of the park in what she did.
They are professional actors, aren't they? You can tell. They know what they're doing.
She was hilarious. So from the set of 30 Rock this week.
I just can't believe it.
Two of the best Kevining photos ever.
Well, they...
this is so fun.
Producer Dave has updated the gallery. If you go to KevinandBean.com and click on the Kevining link, you can still send in and add yours to join Tina Fey's. But all the pictures are up. And, man, they continue to just overwhelm us with how many are coming from everywhere. You see the guy who sent one yesterday who was Kevining in front of the Stanley Cup, Kevin?
No, I didn't.
good use of your minute in front of the trophy, right?
It just keeps getting better.
Babies
are doing it. Cats are doing it now. Celebrities. It is really a worldwide phenomenon, and we couldn't be more happy.
Kevin, it's such a tribute to you.
Yes, it is. Bean, thanks.
We think we may have a line on Barack Obama. We think he may be doing it. That's really our goal, is to get to the president and have him throw up those Kevining hands.
Can you imagine?
Spastic Kevining hands, and just get him up there. Oh, so much fun.
Thank you, Jack Burdett.
And thank you, Kevin Ryder, for starting the whole thing off by just being such a spaz. Just the best. Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah! That's hot!
This is the movie that opens up in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 21st. You, however, will get a chance to see it at the Landmark on Thursday, September the 20th, all 24 hours before you can see it otherwise. If you'd like to attend this film about the story of an introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome him to the real world and to the world of high school, Emma Watson stars. If you're a fan of the Potter films, you'll want to see this. Paul Rudd, also in the film. Here's your chance. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Sad news, but good news for Kathy Bates. Tremendously talented actress. She has been battling breast cancer.
Oh.
And she tells People magazine that she chose to have a double mastectomy after much consideration so that she wouldn't have to go through the trials and tribulations of chemotherapy or radiation therapy. So apparently she's beat it. We'll have to wait and see, of course, but all signs look good. She successfully beat ovarian cancer back in 2003.
Wow.
This woman is a stud.
Okay.
Says she plans to attend the Emmy Awards later this month to show the world that she's okay and doing fine. So congratulations to Kathy Bates. Heidi Klum was on Katie Couric's show yesterday. Boy, Katie Couric's just getting the biggest names for her first week
what
out of the gate.
What show is it?
She's got a daytime talk show now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which her premiere episode, I believe, featured Jessica Simpson showing how fat she was.
Ah.
That particular episode, the best, highest rated daytime talk show in the past 10 years.
Really?
Monster numbers for Katie Couric.
Wow.
People are loving her on the daytime talk show things.
The people love her.
The people do love her. Heidi Klum was on the show, and Katie got her to admit that, yes, indeed, she was dating her longtime bodyguard, Martin Kristen. He's guarding her body a little closer.
These days, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Guarding it with his penis, if you know what I mean.
No, what do you mean, Ralph?
Pretty clear. You pretty much spelled it out.
Here's the thing. Seal accused Heidi of cheating on him with the bodyguard while they were married, and she denied it. She says, oh, no, nothing happened while we were married, but now that I'm single, now all of a sudden we can't keep our hands off of
he
each other.
He gave me the idea.
Yeah, it maybe.
Yeah, that's what it was. So oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he's a dreamboat.
That guy is good looking.
Yeah. I've known him for 4 years, she said. He's cared for our entire family, mostly for our four children, and helped us tremendously. I trust him. I trust him with my children's life. He's a great man. We just got to know each other from a completely different side.
Yeah, the back side. You know what I'm saying? From the doggy side. You know what I'm saying there?
Yes,
you
know what I'm saying? Yes.
I don't think you got
it's very clear.
I don't think I understand what I'm saying.
By the way, if you're hired to be the bodyguard for Heidi Klum, that's all you're thinking about every day of that 4 years is when do I get to step in?
When can I throw myself on top of her to protect her from a projectile?
Yep. So now they have to hire
give
a bodyguard.
Her this projectile.
Right.
You know what
right.
I got a projectile in my pants that I'd like to protect.
Come on, man.
Yeah. While we're talking all sexy-like, Allison Pill from HBO's The Newsroom is the latest victim of people who just don't know how to effing operate their cell phones.
Kevin, she's the ditzy blonde.
She's Maggie Jordan.
Oh,
she
I like
is
her.
The clueless
I like her.
Producer on that show.
Always, I'm always drawn to the clueless.
What's going on? I have too many boyfriends. <The story's laughs>
I'm always drawn to the ones that are a little less smart.
Most unrealistic character on television.
Totally.
No way any news organization would ever A, hire, B, keep her on staff if she acted like that 24/7.
And that goes for Emily Mortimer's character as well, by the way.
At least she'd
instantly be fired.
She apparently has some sort of amazing news resume, so you can understand why she can get away with that crap. But this right. one started as an intern. Just like, running around like a chicken with her head cut off. She'd be out the door in my newsroom. Yeah. Out the door!
You don't have a newsroom.
She's the beer mug of news radio. That's
wow.
the newsroom. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Don't hurt her like that.
So Allison Pill tweeted a topless photo of herself yesterday morning.
All right.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem the type.
She apparently was trying to send it to her boyfriend, actor Jay Burakel from How to Train Your Dragon. She's out of my league. You know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
She quickly deleted the photo. Whoops, too late. It's all over the internet as of yesterday. Apologized to her 13,000 followers saying, "Ugh, my tech issues have now reached new heights, apparently. How a deletion turned into a tweet? Apologies."
No apologies necessary.
Allison Pill.
Good work.
She's got glasses on. She's laying on the bed with her like glasses on. It got that sexy librarian thing going on.
I'd like to check some books out of that library. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
I'll take those two books on the top shelf right there. They're good, those two books. They look like they're hard copies. Hardcover copies of that book right there.
We understand exactly
what I think
what
you understand
saying.
What I'm saying at all.
Exactly.
And in the news, apparently Lindsay's just Lindsay. She's just Lindsay.
What does that mean?
I mean, she's not any different. She's never going to be different. Things not going to change.
She's not going to clean up her act anytime soon.
New York Post saying she is currently, well, they're trying to film Scary Movie 5, this role she's got in the Scary Movie franchise, but she's blown off for her rehearsals. Hasn't shown up for her rehearsals for Scary Movie 5. Flaked
wow.
out on every meeting connected with the movie, and even missed a flight to Atlanta to start shooting.
Is she aware of it?
Does she know she's in it? She should look at her IMDb page
yeah.
to see if she's cast or not.
I know we've had this conversation 80 previous times, but every single time I think, why doesn't she recognize this is the opportunity for her to start doing things right?
So you're saying this is it? This is it.
I'm saying this is it. When I say this is it,
this
Rob,
is
I
it.
Mean this is it.
I'm saying this is it.
Why doesn't she look at this and go, okay, maybe I effed up the last 79 times, but this time I'm really going to get my act together and show up and work hard.
Because you're applying logic.
Yeah. It's just Lindsay being Lindsay, man. Apparently, she's friends say she's a little concerned about the film because she thinks the film is going to find ways to make fun of her. Well, yeah, that's why they hired you. To make Lindsay Lohan jokes.
Of course.
And apparently, she also has an on-screen kiss with Charlie Sheen in the film, and she's freaked out by that as well.
Ew.
Look,
you've kissed worse, Lindsay.
Hey, yes,
you've kissed worse.
And B, you're lucky to have a gig.
Dude, I would
show up with
early
tap dance shoes
yes.
on, and sparklers in each hand, whistling the national anthem out of my butthole. If I could do that, I would be on this crappy show. That's
that would
for sure.
you would win America's Got Talent. I'll tell you
that's
that.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth is 51 years old. Isn't he the one who said that Obama was staging all the shootings
yep.
in the United States because he's trying to take our guns away?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a little crazy.
I'm going to take him off the list of the birthdays. I don't want him to have a happy birthday. I don't want that to happen. Comedian Jeffrey Ross is 47 years old today. Drummer Steve Perkins of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction turns 45. Fiona Apple celebrates her 35th birthday. Ben Savage from Boy Meets World is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6 o'clock.
What's with the ugh at the end of that song? How did that happen? That's unusual, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never done ugh like you have, so I don't know.
No, but the guy at the end of the song is what I'm talking about. It's just weird that something like that would end up in a song. It's unusual.
Can't help you with that.
Guys, Honey Boo Boo is a show that's on TV that people watch.
Yes, and it's great.
You've never seen it. You say it's great. You've not seen it one time, have you?
I don't have to. I get to listen to the highlights that you play, and I love it so much. I saw her when she was on Toddlers and Tiaras.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you haven't experienced the full magic of her family, of June and of Sugar Bear and of Pumpkin and Chickadee. I mean, you don't know the whole deal. Living in their little town in Georgia. I'll tell you one thing about the Honey Boo Boo Show, and that is there is no bodily function that they shy away from on that program. There's more belching and farting and snorting and sneezing, and they get it all on camera. And I guess they're just a family that they are either comfortable with it or they love it. I can't tell. They seem to really enjoy each other making those kind of noises. Well, Chickadee, as you know, Kevin, is 17 and in her third trimester, and there were some concerns at the end of the last episode we spotlighted that she was getting ready to go to the hospital and have the baby early, 6 weeks early, which you don't want.
Right, right.
June, who's had four of her own kids, is talking about how tough it is to plan for babies.
I don't think anybody can be prepared for a baby. I mean, I've had four, and it's always been a different experience every time.
I am not ready for Caitlin to come out.
All right, now, Chickadee's little baby so far is named Caitlin, okay? She hasn't been born yet. I'm sure she'll get a stupid nickname after she is.
Sure.
But Honey Boo Boo, as you can tell, has some concerns about the new baby joining their already crowded family.
I am not ready for Caitlin to come out. Gonna smell like poop when she poops.
Well, that's an excellent point, Honey Boo Boo. It is gonna smell like poop when she poops.
That's tough to argue.
Nothing you can do about that. Of course, Honey Boo Boo, even though she's only six, she's already thinking ahead to how many kids she wants to have, because when you grow up in a family like theirs,
no.
All you know is having babies. That's all that ever goes on in that house, right? So she's got a number in mind.
I want to have children when I grow up. I want to have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands.
All right, so thousands, thousands, thousands. So then they ask her, how many do you really want to have? Because clearly she's joking about that. So Honey Boo Boo's doing the math.
The 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30.
Okay, 37, 38, 39. 30. That's how many she's going to end up with.
All right.
As you know, there was also a weight loss challenge over the summer between all the people in the family.
And by the way, all need it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the 12-year-old weighs 167 pounds. The 15-year-old weighs 172. Mom started the summer at 309 pounds. So they did have a weight challenge where they all tried to lose weight, and it didn't end up going very well. I think they all either gained or lost within about 5 pounds after the summer. But that's, I think June, by the way, lost 1.2 pounds over the course of the summer while she was allegedly trying to lose weight.
But she makes up for it by being beautiful.
But here's here's Pumpkin, the 12-year-old who has her own goals in mind for the weight loss challenge.
Pumpkin is used to weigh 164 pounds, and she hasn't stopped eating all summer.
My goal is at the end of summer to weigh 250 pounds.
So she's
what? She wants to gain weight.
She wants to weigh 250. She's looking at it in a different way. I think she may be joking.
That's not a very good goal. That's an awesome girl. That's a second thing beside my butthole piercing.
Kevin, you've had a 12-year-old girl in your house. You've had a 12-year-old girl in your house. How often is she referenced wanting to weigh 250 pounds and then her second goal is to get a butthole piercing?
I thought that's what she said.
That's an awesome girl. That's the second thing beside my butthole piercing.
She wants to get a butthole piercing. And is she just at the age where she's just saying whatever she can just to terrify her parents?
Yes, but we need to look into the butthole piercing.
That's the next thing.
Oof, none of us really lost a bunch of weight, but so a small prize will be we'll be able to go to the war park.
All right,
they're going to a wall park?
Because no one speaks June. Yes, Kevin, they're going to the wall park, which I guess is a water park, is where they're actually going. So this is what the prize is for everybody essentially blowing off the diet and losing no weight, is she's taking them to the water park. Now, the water park wasn't all that exciting, except for one thing that happened where they're running around on the inner tubes and doing all that, and then one of the kids wants to go on the big, big slide, right, and mom won't let him. So they work out some sort of a deal. They're going to bribe mom and wait to hear what they ask for.
All right, now you either had your phone or going on that big slide.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Negative.
See, look how much fun those kids are having.
You no, I told you, no.
Oh. The other day, you saw that forklift foot.
Okay, either we go on the ride, mom, or you show us the forklift foot.
Ugh.
Remember the forklift foot?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She wouldn't take off her socks for a pedicure because she was worried about the forklift
foot. She never takes off her socks because she was run over by a forklift and she doesn't want anybody to see her foot. But the kids are now putting the pressure on because they're out there in swimsuits at the water park.
She's like, well, show me your messed up foot that she wanted to see for a while now.
I'm very protective over my feet. I got run over years ago when I worked in a warehouse. I got run over with a forklift and it just messed one of my toes really up really bad.
She won't even let Sugar Bear see it. She better let her own self see it.
I think she said she won't even let Sugar Bear see it. She barely lets her own self see it. I think that's what Honey Boo Boo said.
She's in a water park with socks on?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, because she won't take her, she won't take her sock off because she's got forklift foot, right?
One sock or both socks?
She wears both socks.
Okay.
It's just one foot that's deformed.
All right.
It don't matter what. I always have my socks on. Girls kept pushing, so I was like, forget it. I'll just do it, you know, to please him.
All right. She takes off the sock, kids.
Oh. Yes, and?
We're going to have to bring a visual into this experiment here. If you go to the Twitter page of Kevin and Bean, at Kevin and Bean, you can see a picture that we posted of June's forklift foot, and it is horrific.
Beautiful.
It is unbelievable. It is big and swollen, and half the nail is missing, and the other half is ingrown. And I'm not joking when I tell you that she takes her shoe off, her sock off, and there's just gnats all flying around inside. Are you looking at it?
No, I'm just listening to you.
You got to see it. Oh my God, it is crazy. At Kevin and Bean on Twitter if you want to see the forklift foot, because that was the most shocking thing that I've seen on the show. Meanwhile, Honey Boo Boo has another pageant coming up. And, of course, if you're going to put the girl in the pageant, not only do you have to put the whore makeup on her, but you've also got to spray tanning stuff on her, which is crazy to me that you're spraying tanning spray on a six-year-old.
Yeah, that's
but
insane.
That's what they do.
The Rockstar pageant is a couple days away. We have to tan her, make sure all of our outfits are together and are packed up. Right now, I did down by the bun. I mean, doing time butter butt.
I can't.
Something about butter butt.
I don't think so.
It looks like poop going down my belly.
All right, so Honey Boo Boo's talking about the tanning spray is like poop going down her belly. Again, she's going through a phase where everything's about poop.
Spray tan is like poop in a can. You get underneath the fat roll, Mom.
Wants to make sure that Mama gets underneath her fat rolls on her stomach because she's six. And she's jiggling her belly around. Wants to make sure it all gets evenly tanned.
Get underneath it.
We're not looking for no pale girl on stage.
Nope, don't want any pale girls on stage. This is a family that America has fallen in love with, you guys. Honey Boo Boo, well, she speaks for herself.
Everyone looking at me, I feel like a champion.
Oh!
What a stink!
Golly, you did farted.
Okay,
you love them.
I can't.
You love farts. Say it.
June is excited about the pageant upcoming, but please don't ever let her use this word again.
I'm very, like, anal. When it comes to pageant day, because
I don't want her to use that word in any circumstance. However, Honey Boo Boo is confident about the pageant.
You and pageants about bring your A game, and I always bring my A game.
Honey Boo Boo always brings her A game, which is another way of saying she's six and she already realizes there's no room for improvement in her life. Right? One more clip. So they go to the pageant, and, you know, Mom is trying to be a supportive pageant mom like she is, so she's coaxing her in the crowd, and she's trying to get her to follow along and do the right dance moves and stuff like that. And she's like, come on, Smoochie. She's being encouraging. I mean, she really does give a lot of her time and effort to her kid and her stupid hobby, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Honey Boo Boo does nothing but complain about Mom overcoaching her.
My mama is distracting when I'm on stage.
She says.
Come on! I mean, hello, I'm trying to do a pageant here, Mama.
Oh, no, she's trouble.
Wow.
Hello, I'm trying to do a pageant here. Well, fortunately, she didn't win, so there is still some heartbreak and disappointment at the end of the episode. It's the only thing that made me happy. She did win a minor prize, but she didn't win the supreme prize. But I think there's there's maybe two, maybe three episodes left.
No, don't say that.
I think that's it. I think that's going to be about the end of it for this season. But the delightful Honey Boo Boo and family right there.
If you wrote that as fiction, TLC. No one would buy it.
It's true.
Nope. They would say that's just true.
We heard some very exciting Green Day news a little while ago that we're not allowed to share yet, but we will soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And trust us, you're going to love it. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Because you're acting like a grade schooler. I know something you don't. I know something you don't.
No, what I'm saying is there's some great news for Green Day fans. We're not at liberty to discuss it yet, but I'm very excited to share the news soon.
As am I.
I would think Green Day fans would be happy to hear that.
Yes. Happier to hear the news.
W. Kamau Bell is going to be joining us on the program next half hour. Also, Petros Papadakis is going to be here to be talking college football, Dr. Drew, and, of course, more tickets for you to go see a great show with Rise Against and Gaslight Anthem. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, has now been dead for 35 years. But there still seems to be so much fascination with him in every aspect of his life. How do you explain that?
I don't. I can't. I don't know. I don't understand it. I can see that people really worshipped him and loved his music, but it's been 35 years.
I met people from England yesterday who were going to Memphis after they left L.A.
Because they want to go to Graceland.
Yeah, they want to go to Graceland.
I mean, he still sells, a million records a year, and it's little kids still grow up and become fascinated with him and fall in love with him. Well, they just did a big auction at a place called Omega Auctions where they had over 100 pieces of Elvis memorabilia. Ralph talked about this a little bit in the showbiz news because there were a couple of items that caught our attention. One was a Bible that was being sold, Elvis Presley's actual Bible, that was auctioned off for $94,600.
Wow.
Somebody paid for a book because it was owned by Elvis.
My God. God.
That's crazy.
The item that didn't get sold, and maybe this won't surprise anyone, is a pair of stained underwear that the king wore.
It didn't get sold?
It did not get sold.
Some crazy person didn't want that?
It had a reserve price of about $11,000, and the bidding only reached $8,000, so when it doesn't reach the reserve, they don't sell it. So apparently nobody wanted to buy his...
Well, someone did.
Someone did for $8,000. Yeah, you're right. But not enough. But not enough.
That's not
Why
enough.
Why would
for
you
stained
want that?
Underwear.
I don't care who you're a fan
that
of.
That seems like enough.
I don't know.
I'm a huge fan of Rage Against the Machine. I don't need Zach's underwear.
No.
Clean or dirty.
He wore it under a white jumpsuit during a 1977 concert when he was at his fattest, the summer before he died, when he was so gross and sweaty and apparently did not have great hygiene in his pants.
And how did that not get washed in 40 years or however long it's been since he wore them?
I don't know. But we do know that we've got the Hotline to Heaven fired up, and we get a chance to talk to the King of Rock and Roll himself. I believe Elvis is going to be joining us from heaven, and maybe he can explain what the hell is going on here.
Hang around together with suspicious minds.
Hi, Big E. What's going on, man?
How's it going, Mark and Brian? How you doing, man?
Actually, your boy's retired. This is Kevin and Bean calling.
Kevin and Bean.
Yep.
Okay, man. Whatever you say.
All right.
TCB, take care of business, man.
Okay. Right. So, Elvis, let's address thing one, and that is, what about the ongoing fascination with you and every aspect of your life some 35 years after your death? What's that about?
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, it's really wonderful to have such loyal fans, you know? And I just want to tell everyone who still appreciates my music and still watches the movies and that I really appreciate it, and it's great to feel the love coming from the fans, man. Yeah.
Now, your Bible sold for $94,000. That's
crap.
That's crazy, right?
I wish I had read more Bibles, man. It would have been a lot of money. that's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I gotta take a pill.
You're taking pills in heaven?
I'm a little
too
excited, man. I got to take a downer just to... Okay.
No, be careful there. You don't want to overdo that. That's what got you into heaven in the first place, remember.
Oh, okay. All right.
You all right?
I just got a little excited, man, hearing about that number.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, how much my underwear go for, man? Do you know here? I heard they were auctioning off my underwear.
Your stained underwear?
Yeah. How about...
They didn't sell.
I'm pretty proud of those. I put a lot of work into them.
They didn't sell. They didn't sell. There was a minimum of $11,000 needed, and it only got up to $8,000, so they didn't sell your underwear.
Hold on a second. You mean to tell me a Bible went for $94,000?
Correct.
And underwear with bits and pieces of me on it didn't sell at all?
Nobody wanted that.
Oh, man, I got all this stuff I'm trying to sell. This is gonna be a problem, man.
You have more stuff?
More stuff?
Yeah. I got some toe jam here. That one you think a toe jam goes for?
No. That's the kind of stuff that doesn't work well, Elvis.
All right, hold on a second. Let's see. I got a used enema bag here. How about that?
Nope.
Look, man, it's still got the nozzle attached.
Nope.
Oh, please, no.
ain't never been washed or nothing, man.
Wow, why don't you wash anything?
I would just buy new ones.
Oh, I see. All right.
I like to buy new underwear all the time. I'm like a crazy person when it comes to underwear.
Oh, yeah? You go through like three pairs of days?
Hold on. I got to take an upper, man. I'm a little too down.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Be careful with Elvis with the drugs. Come on.
Whew. I'm a little backed up, man.
Oh, no.
Hold on a second. I got to.
No.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Oh. Nope. I don't want to hear this.
Nope. Oh. Please stop.
I think I got a new collectible, man, if someone wants anything.
don't think anyone does.
Too bad it's gone now. Don't worry, I'll make more.
It's all right. There's a thing called books, you guys. It's on paper, and it has words, and you read it. And I know it's weird.
With that.
I know it's weird. I'm not familiar with it either, but they sell a lot of them in this country. And number one of all the books being sold right now is one called No Easy Day, the first-hand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden. So this is a first-person view of what went down in the weeks leading up to the assassination, to the murder, to the death, to the taken out of Osama bin Laden from a retired Navy SEAL. And the book has created a great deal of controversy, wouldn't you say, Kevin?
Well, I remember at the time when the president they said the president himself hadn't been told who shot bin Laden.
Yeah.
Nor
mm-hmm.
would he ever be told, because that's the code of silence that SEAL Team 6 has. They will never, the light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight. And I don't know if you remember the Funny or Die video that Rob Riggle did,
mm-hmm.
but he was talking to a general. The general's like, no one will ever know your story. I'm going to have to be able to count on your silence to make sure that nobody finds out that it was you. And then cut to Rob Riggle at the bar in the afternoon.
I shot bin Laden!
Osama bin Laden! And he goes, who's asking? I'm like, the U.S. of A, motherfucker.
Well, shortly after the killing, we had our friend Brian Suits on, who joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. He is the host of the soon-to-be nationally syndicated Dark Secret Place radio show, which is heard Sunday afternoons on KFI. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm great, Mark and Brian.
I remember the time you told us, no, we're never going to hear the details about this. These guys are a tight-lipped group. It's honor for them. They don't want the publicity. They don't want to talk about what happened. They just go in and they do their job and that's it. And boom, here we are a few months later and a guy's got a book out. What happened?
Cha-ching. Yeah. Retirement in 2012. Yeah, Matt Bessonet, the guy's real name, he lives in Wrangell, Texas. I mean, Alaska, a bit of a difference. He signed a non-disclosure agreement, just like everyone in special operations does, saying, I will go to my grave unless I clear it with the Pentagon with all my information. And he put everything down on paper and did not go through the Pentagon. And so that's why he's on the outside looking in for the rest of his life from the SEAL community. He also went on 60 Minutes on Sunday.
Yeah.
With a really bad disguise, by the way.
He was disguised, and I couldn't tell what the disguise was, but if he signed a non-disclosure, I've read other books about SEAL Team 6, and they all have to run them through the Pentagon, and there are parts of it that are blacked out. They don't want you to know the certain information, but he didn't even do that.
Wait a minute. Was that Kevin saying I read other books?
How dare you?
I know. Pretty shocking, right?
You mean skimmed.
No, you're the guy took a chance, and it looks like it's paying off, because the Pentagon's probably not going to criminally prosecute him, but they will go after him civilly, because I didn't know this. The federal government, if you are profiting off of classified information, the federal government can come and take a piece of that, if not the majority of it, and that's probably what they'll pursue.
Wow. Really? But, I mean, aren't they in a tight spot here, Brian, that they go, do we really want to drag an American hero, a guy who killed bin Laden, into court for anything if we don't have to?
Yeah, they're over a barrel, and they're probably going to just settle with Penguin Group, which is not a division of the SEALs. The Penguins are a publishing company.
Right.
And they're probably going to actually cut a check to the Pentagon, some sort of a, you know, we're so sorry, here it is thing, and the guy will keep, you know, whatever money he makes. If you want to save some money, go to Costco, get a frappe, and go to page 233 and read the next 10 pages, and boom, there's the book.
Okay. What's in those 10 pages? That's the actual account of the raid?
We go upstairs, shoot bin Laden in the head, and then the thing that, in special operations, in conversations I've had with special operations people, they're shocked that this guy is going to spend the rest of his life basically looking over his shoulder, because he admits that he's the guy who put, as bin Laden was shot in the head and twitching on his back, this is the guy that put the coup de grace onto him, that put two rounds into his chest and killed him on page 236. And so for the rest, either he doesn't understand this enemy the way that I do and the way that others in special operations do, or he's prepared to spend the rest of his life wearing that stupid 60 Minutes disguise as Scott Pelley.
So you're telling me, so not only is he in hot water with his fellow SEALs brothers, but he also now has to worry about Al-Qaeda, who are going to be seeking revenge on him because they know he's the guy who pulled the trigger.
Yeah, because of his book. The SEALs are not going to track him down and give him a beat down. He just won't go to the reunions in San Diego and get all drunk.
Yeah,
Ventura, you know, he is going to look over his shoulder at the guy that wants to make his mark as, I'm the guy that killed the guy that started Al-Qaeda.
Right. All right. Let me ask you a couple other things. Again, this is the voice of our friend Brian Suits here on the Kevin and Bean Show, lieutenant in the United States Army, by the way, and the host of the Dark Secret Place radio show. And that is there any classified information? Others have argued, hey, a lot of this stuff has already been distributed besides the firsthand account, but most of the major mission stuff has already been disclosed through other channels in recent years.
I haven't seen anything from the bin Laden portion of the book that is not already open source. In other words, a civilian journalist has already put it in print, and it hasn't been denied. What I am kind of shocked about is some of the stuff that he talks about for finding high-value targets in Iraq. I'm not going to highlight what I'm shocked about, but I'm kind of surprised that he thought there would be no harm in putting that in, because that is stuff that is ongoing, that we're using that stuff in Afghanistan, we're using it in Somalia, we're using it in Mali. And he put it in his book about how we track down high-value targets in Al-Qaeda targets in Iraq.
Wow, so you're not so worried about the Osama bin Laden part, but he gave details about things that were completely not related to bin Laden?
Yeah, absolutely, because the bin Laden thing, it doesn't require a lot of imagination. We got in helicopters, landed at his mansion, and shot him in the head, right. And then I went home and had tea and medals, you know? But the Iraq stuff is sort of sources and methods. It's stuff that we're still doing, but in other places. And it didn't help the narrative of his book. Didn't require it in the book.
Hmm. Gotcha. On the 60 Minutes interview this past weekend, he went out of his way to say that this was not he didn't have any political ambition for releasing this book when he did before the election. He just wanted it to coincide with September 11th. But we heard reports before the book came out that a lot of the SEALs were very anti-Obama and really upset that the president was going to get some sort of credit for their hard work. You know anything about that, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. There's amongst the SEAL community, there's this idea that Obama's going around telling people that, you know, he pulled bin Laden's heart out of his chest and showed it to him while it was still beating, you know, that might be a bit of an exaggeration. But yeah, they knew what they were doing would be a stop on the political resume for re-election. And they take great umbrage at that, but they would certainly strengthen their case a bit if a lot of if a book hadn't been published. But then for the SEALs defense, all these leaks about the doctor that confirmed bin Laden's DNA,
right,
all that stuff came out of the White House. It came out of these young, starry-eyed White House staffers who've never been around classified information, and they love to be the center of attention at bars in D.C., and they have no idea that outside the world of unicorn factories and strawberry-scented welfare checks, there are men whose lives depend on secrecy.
Is there going to be another Osama bin Laden book? Did I hear something about the Black Hawk Down guys writing one, too?
Yeah, Mark Bowden's book comes out, I want to say, next month. And it'll be sort of a bigger picture. It won't be from a single shooter's perspective. But yeah, that'll be coming out. And then the movie, Oh Dark Thirty, comes out in December. It was never timed to come out a week before the election, but it's coming out in December, and that's the Catherine Bigelow directed movie.
Well, I gotta tell you, it's a little easier than it used to be to get this kind of information. There's a couple of books and a movie and all that, all these sources.
Then bin Laden killing the series. You know, they could do like an episode of 24.
No Easy Day, the first-hand account of the mission that killed Osama bin Laden is the name of the book. If you want to check it out, it is written by, the pseudonym is Mark Owen, and our guest has been Brian Suits, host of The Dark Secret Place. KFI Sunday afternoons. What time, Brian?
We moved it to Saturday nights at 8 p.m. because we're all about the party people.
Sure. Saturday nights is exactly what I want to hear a military intelligence program. Good move. Hey, thanks for joining us, man.
All right.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's the code of silence that SEAL Team 6 has. They will never, the light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think that's accurate.
You do not want the light of that coming to daylight.
I think that's accurate.
Absolutely accurate.
I'm happy with that.
Only what does it mean? Only what does it mean?
How quickly do you guys turn this stuff around?
We have hired new people.
Ago.
We have a staff of people just standing by in the other room. Just cutting and editing the tape and just throwing it together. And they're the busiest people at the station, by the way.
How dare you.
The Moment With team is the busiest employees at the station.
That was spectacular, by the way, Kevin. You are back.
One more time.
Seriously,
more time.
I don't want to cut into your showbiz time.
I'll volunteer.
And now, it's time for A Moment With Kevin.
that's the code of silence that they, SEAL Team 6, has. They will never, the light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow. Ah, felt good.
That was like a classic one, too. That just, that reminds me of the good old days. Yeah. That's going to live on. That one's going to live on. Some of them come and go. That one's going to, that's a keeper.
I think we may be hearing that one in our top 10 of the year.
I think it's worth a bullet.
657, W. Kamau Bell, very funny man, is going to be joining us after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now with the showbiz beat.
I am here. And while we're talking about Osama bin Laden and daylight and things like that, the newsroom has been talking a lot about politics on HBO. I don't know if you're familiar with that show or not. I was shaky when it first debuted. And it grew on me a lot. And by the end, I really enjoyed that show. Allison Pill, one of the actresses from that show, plays Maggie Jordan, the clumsy, wacky associate producer with the love problems and the confidence problems. And I don't know, probably she's incontinent, too. I don't know what she's got going on. A lot of problems.
She's the me of that newsroom.
She is. Only she's adorable and charming.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. She accidentally tweeted a topless photo of herself yesterday morning.
USA! USA! USA!
Cute little picture of her in like oversized glasses laying back on the bed with her boobs akimbo. And she's only got 13,000 followers on Twitter. She immediately deleted it, and yet it's all over the internet. You cannot avoid it. People are just, it's just boob hawks out there just circling in the sky. Just screeching out and snatching up nude photos of celebrities and keeping them alive on the internet. She tweeted immediately afterwards, "Ugh, my tech issues have now reached new heights, apparently. How a deletion turned into a tweet. Apologies," she said.
Wow, somebody that actually takes responsibility for it instead of saying my phone was hacked.
That's right.
It's not me.
No, pygmy warriors broke into my home and stole my laptop. She, no need to apologize, Allison.
Nope. Not at all.
You're lovely.
I retweeted that photo since you talked about it last hour for people who missed it yesterday and want to have a chance to catch up.
Well, how lovely and creepy of you.
Dean is the hawk. The boob hawk.
He's a boob hawk. Mila Kunis, while we're talking about lovely and talented and adorable. This never happens to me. She was stuck in an elevator with 10 other people last Sunday for 45 minutes. I never get stuck in an elevator with Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
My life, I'd be stuck in an elevator with Beer Mug. Hey. Only one of us would come out alive, I guarantee you that. If she wasn't claustrophobic before, I bet she is now. She said that everyone stayed calm, and firefighters did manage to rescue everyone, but it was a little dicey as they got about a half an hour in. You don't know how long you're going to be stuck in an elevator. Could be hours.
Could be days. Sometimes the devil's in the elevator with you.
I saw that M. Night Shyamalan movie. But all is well. Still, I think that would be great to be stuck in an elevator with Mila Kunis.
Sure.
Unfortunately, there's 8 other people there, too, but...
But you could kill all of them to get to Mila.
We would just ignore them.
You and Mila?
Mila and I, yeah. And James Cameron, one of the richest men on the planet, according to Neighbors, lives like a hippie.
Really?
Yeah. He drives a Toyota hybrid around.
Okay.
Because he's all, unobtainium, let's save the planet, BS, purple cats, and all that stuff.
Right.
And he doesn't allow any of his 3 children to watch TV.
What?
No TV.
Ever.
Ever. Not good for them, he says.
Okay.
You know what's not good for them?
What?
I don't know. I want somebody to tell me. I got a kid at home, and I have no idea how to raise her.
Put her in front of the TV.
That's what I do.
It's all good.
It's all Barney, all GABA, all Caillou all the time at my house.
It's
just TV, TV. Hey, I was raised on TV, and look at me. I can do wacky voices. He's worth $700 million, by the way.
Wow.
I say, the kids are like, we won't watch, whatever, Dad, just as long as you keep us in the will, whatever you say. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeffrey Ross is 47 years old today.
Is there a worse looking 47?
No.
I love him.
He goes out of his way, I think. He's aggressively unattractive. He could comb his hair or bathe or
wash
get a haircut,
clothes, yeah.
Shave. I mean, there's all kinds of options that are still open for him that he could improve upon his
Actually,
appearance.
All options are still open
for him. I don't
think
he gives a rat's
none.
Ass.
I feel like he's every day auditioning for the Muammar Gaddafi story. That's what it looks like he's trying to be.
Steve Perkins of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 45 years old. Fiona Apple turns 35. And Ben Savage, star of a classic TV series Boy Meets World, he is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Petros Papadakis is going to be on talking college football. Don't forget, Kevin, that he was the captain of the worst football team in USC football history.
Oh, I know.
So he knows something about college football.
I hear you.
So he'll be joining us later this hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, we want to turn you on to a program that's on Thursday nights at 11 on the FX channel. It is called Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell. And Mr. Bell joins us on the Kevin Bean Show for the first time right now. Hey, W., how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. I'm fine. You know, I've never looked it up.
Don't call me W like that.
That's what I was going to ask. I've never looked it up. But why are you a W? Are you like Mitt Romney, where the W stands for Willard, and you just don't want anyone to know that?
I am unlike Mitt Romney in all ways, first of all. Let me say that.
Okay.
My W is me and my dad have the same first name. And if I tell you, then we can't talk any further.
Well, I understand. That's fine. It's family secret. So people just call you Kamau then?
Yeah, yes. My friends call me Kamau.
Fantastic. So you have been doing comedy for a long time. You're up in the Bay Area. And then how do you end up on my FX? How did that happen?
I have a solo show, solo stand-up comedy show called The W. Kamau Bell Curve, Ending Racism in About an Hour, where if you bring a friend of a different race, you get in two for one.
Oh, nice.
I like it.
Not even Martin Luther King Jr. did that at the March on Washington.
That's true.
Well done.
Also, he didn't charge admission. So I was taking that show all over the country, and I took it to New York, and I did the show at the UCB Theater in New York, and after the show, it was a great show, and all of a sudden, Chris Rock floated backstage dressed in black like he was in The Matrix. And he told me I was funny, and a couple months later, I got a call for an unlisted number, and the person said, "This is Chris Rock," and I said, "No, it's not," and he was like, "Don't be the dude who doesn't believe it's me, it's me, this could be your big shot," and I was like, "Oh, man, he's pacing, I can tell he's pacing, it's Chris Rock."
That had to be was it out of the blue that he was there that night, or had you been told ahead of time?
No, it was told. I mean, you know, it was out of the blue. Yeah. I knew people who knew him because I'd been doing comedy for a little bit.
Right.
But I didn't expect, you know, why would Chris Rock come to see my show at, you know, the UCB Theater?
Right. And by the way, thank God you didn't know that Chris Rock was in the audience, right? That would have been the worst show of your life if you had that in the back of your head.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been, especially if he'd like sat in front and just shook his head no the whole time.
Nope. Not funny. Not making me laugh.
So he says you should be on TV, my friend, and then what, you get together with some people and decide what kind of format makes sense for the kind of comedy you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically based off the show that he saw, but we got together and with the Chuck Sklar, one of the executive producers of the show, and we kicked around some ideas, and then we shot a pilot that Chris funded, and then a pilot presentation, and then he sold it to FX. I really had nothing to do with it. It was kind of the easiest thing that ever happened in my career.
Wow.
Yeah.
But do you have to give all your money to Chris?
Oh, he gets a percentage. Yeah, okay.
So you've got like a guardian angel. That's just unbelievable. I mean, it's a tremendous compliment to you that somebody like Chris Rock, who doesn't have to help anybody, goes out of his way to help a guy who's up and coming. That's incredible.
Yeah, no, I think of him as less of a guardian angel and more of a foul-mouthed Yoda. That's how I think
about it. So how has it been for you? I mean, you're using a lot of the same skills that you've been using for years, because I know you're a very topical comedian anyway, but how has the deadline pressure of knowing you've got a show to do every Thursday night, how has that been working for you?
I mean, you know, it's exciting, but it's also absolutely horrible. it's both at the same time, because, like, you know, we had a show written 2 days ago, and then the world exploded, and so we have to rewrite a lot of stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, it's really exciting. We're on the edge of our seats at all times. Like, we have to film a show in a few hours, and we're still writing stuff right now.
Wow. You do a lot of political stuff. So at least in that respect, you know that the next 2 months are going to be something every week that you're going to be able to find that's easy to make fun of on both sides of the aisle, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly on the totally biased in my act, I like to make fun of the people who need to be made fun of, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. But yeah, we're about to hit the season of debates, which is just going to be awesome.
Cause yeah.
I think we're about to see Romney shut down like an old sci-fi robot.
I wonder if the conventions changed a single mind. I wonder if the debates change a single mind. It almost seems like people already have their minds made up, and it's just a question of whether they're going to vote or not. I just wonder if we spend so much time on stuff that really doesn't move the needle at all.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think the vast percentage of people already know who they're going to vote for. And really, like, the billions and billions of dollars that are spent on the election are for about 10% of America who's like, I just don't know.
Right. And by the way, that's going to be their answer after the billions are spent as well.
Yeah, I mean, basically it comes down to, I just like the way that guy looks in a suit. That's what it comes down to every time. The way that guy looks in a suit.
It is terrifying that this entire election on who runs the country of 300 million people is going to come down to a few thousand people in Michigan and Ohio. I mean, that's essentially where we're headed, which is a frightening way to run a country, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know why they let the rest of us vote in states that already are. You know, like in California, I feel like my vote is just a suggestion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Now, will you have guests on the show come out?
Yeah, we have guests on the show tonight. We have Issa Rae from Awkward Black Girl, a popular web channel, and we've had Rachel Maddow. We've had Chris
nice.
As a guest. Yeah. Yeah, we've had Alex Wagner from MSNBC. Yeah, we're going for it. Next week we have Janine Garofalo.
Oh, nice. Now, I will be honest with you, I've not seen a whole show, but I've seen a bunch of clips online, and I love what you're doing because it's similar in the vein of the topics that you cover, but it's totally different than Daniel Tosh's show, than Jon Stewart's show. I mean, you really have carved out a neat new niche, which I think is cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of room on late-night television to talk about stuff, and this is the stuff we're talking about. But, yeah, I certainly, you know, the people you mentioned are great at what they do, and we just feel like there's room for one more.
Yeah, good times. It's called Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell. Very funny show. You should totally check it out. It's Thursday nights at 11 on FX, and then it reruns on Saturday nights as well. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you, man. Let's do it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right, let's try to keep Petros away from bachelor pad discussions, okay? Let's try. Nobody bring up the bachelor pad with P, because then Ralph will come in here and we'll lose control of the whole thing. Hi, Petros. How are you, man?
Somebody said something about the bachelor pad.
Oh, no. Nobody said anything. There's no show like that on TV, P. Hey, listen, you are on the Petros and Money Show weekday afternoons on AM 570, and you are our college football expert, and that season is going on. We're coming into week 3 already. P, how's it going?
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Every year, the college football season hits me in the face like a subpoena.
This is a kind of a turnaround year for USC, if I remember correctly from our preseason chat, where they are off sanctions now. Is that right? Now they're playing for reals?
They still have scholarship. They were always playing for reals, but they have scholarship sanctions still. They only have 75 scholarships right now, and I think they lose another 10 this year or something like that, but they're bowl eligible. So they can win a championship. They can play in the postseason. So the bowl ban is over. That means that USC is one of the most loaded teams in the country, and they could very well be playing for a championship. But they play those Ahoy Polloys at Stanford on Saturday, and that's a big game. That's a conference opener on the road. So it really starts on Saturday for USC just to see what kind of season it's going to be.
Have they been my sense has been that they have not been particularly impressive so far in the first two games.
Well, they've been a little herky-jerky, but no, they have been impressive. I mean, they have...
Didn't they win a game by like 45 points?
Yeah, they beat Hawaii, but the Syracuse game was not as impressive in New York, but there was like an hour and a half rain delay or a lightning delay at halftime. It was a little bit of a haphazard game.
I gotcha.
But that being said, you know, have you ever seen a kid, like a 15-year-old, drive a Ferrari?
No, but I can imagine.
Okay, well, that's kind of like what the USC offense is right now. I mean, they have a bunch of weapons. I mean, they have a lot of really good players, and there's only one football. You know, it's like Clash of the Titans with those three witches, and they all shared the same eye. Remember that?
I mean, he has the best references.
Yes, he does.
That's kind of what it is. So when you start a season out and you're trying to feature everybody and trying to get everybody their touches, so to speak, with the ball, sometimes you don't have a lot of rhythm on your offense. And I expect that to change and become a little bit more fluid when they start playing these conference games, because conference games are a lot harder regardless of who you're playing. I mean, the teams you play every year, they know you better. Are you ready for another analogy?
Sure.
You know, it's one thing to pull a chick out of a bar that doesn't know you and take her home and have your way with her.
Right.
There's a whole other thing to, like, call an ex-girlfriend and get her to come over and have sex with you. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing.
Okay, so then that relates to football.
What I'm saying is that's why conference games, it's one thing to play somebody you don't know and you just go beat their ass and then you
play
them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
But somebody you have to play every year.
So we used to date Stanford.
It's a lot harder to beat them.
All right.
Yeah, we used to date Stanford, and we had an ugly breakup, and now we're going to try to go back over there and not only not fight with them, but also mount them. I understand. I got you. Now,
that is exactly what I'm saying.
The Trojans have lost the last three to Stanford? That was a surprise statistic for me to read.
Well, the last three and four of the last five. I mean, there's a reason Jim Harbaugh's coaching the San Francisco 49ers right now. I mean, what he did at Stanford is really one of the most amazing things in football I've seen, at least in my lifetime, watching and covering the sport. I mean, Stanford football cannot bring in the same level of player that USC because, and it's not because people turn down Stanford. If they offer you a scholarship, most people go.
Right.
Because it's a special place. It's just really hard to get in there. They have a very difficult administration, and they have a bunch of goofy white guys running around. But that being said, the last couple of years, I mean, they played in BCS games. They've beat USC four of the last five. They've had Andrew Luck and all this great stuff. This is not the same Stanford team. They're still a team. I mean, they're still a good-looking football team, but they're not an elite-level football team like they were. So USC should go up there and win the game with all their offensive weapons. But you never know. Again, conference games are harder.
Let me ask you one more USC question, and then we'll go cross town and talk UCLA for a minute, who are also off to a strong start this year. And that is, when you're on the sidelines, you're at practice, you're at the games, and guys like Matt Barkley look up and go, oh, there's Uncle P. Do they come up to you with reverence? I mean, are they do they want to hear all the stories about the good old days when you played P?
You know, we had Marquise Lee on the radio yesterday, and Marquise Lee's one of the best players in the country right now. He's a wide receiver at USC, and he's a great kid. He's from Gardena Serra High School. And the second Matt and I, we taped the interview, so the second we said hello to him, I asked him, I had an inkling. I said, did you know I did radio? And he said, no, I thought you just did TV.
So you didn't start with, do you know I played?
No, you never look. You never expect these kids to know anything.
Right.
I mean, you really don't. They live in a bubble. They play football. I mean, I didn't know who the announcers were when I played. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
But you know, some of them do. I mean, obviously Matt Barkley, who I've had to interview a bunch of times since he was in high school. You know, they know. Do they want to hear stories? No. They have reverence. You know, it depends on who you're talking about.
I love Barkley, by the way. Such a smart kid. Really, I like him a lot. All right, let's talk about the Bruins for a second. One of the early surprises of the season. They're in the top 25, 2-0. They've got a big, well, I guess they're all big in college football, but they're playing Houston at the Rose Bowl. Talk about that.
Well, UCLA could really roar this year. I mean, they have had athletes. I've been squawking about these same athletes for the last 2 years. They didn't perform for Rick Neuheisel, who's the guy that brought him in. Okay, this is like...
Okay, here we go.
All right, let's say, like, you know, you're a popular dude and you got a girlfriend in high school and you groomed her to be super hot, you know, like Lindsay Lohan and Mean Girls or something.
Right.
And then once she gets super hot, she dumps you, finds a new dude, and like really performs for that guy.
Yeah, and then you're out in the cold.
Right, and that's what UCLA is doing right now for Jim Mora. These are all Rick Neuheisel recruits. Every one of these guys that's showing out right now in a great victory over Nebraska on Saturday, they're all great Rick Neuheisel athletes. None of them were recruited by Jim Mora, but Jim Mora was the guy they needed to come in and repurpose the football team and remotivate the football team and get a scheme for these guys that works. And it's working. I mean, they look great. Houston, they shouldn't have trouble with, but they have a big game with Oregon State a week from Saturday at the Rose Bowl. But look, I am impressed. And this quarterback, Brett Hundley, they haven't had a guy who could run around like that since Mark Harmon. Yeah, that Mark Harmon stealing home.
Yeah.
He was the last running quarterback at UCLA, and that was in the 70s. I think he's on NCIS now. He's really
That's
old.
Right. That's
Takes
right.
Himself too seriously.
All right, but we get off on a tangent here. Five freshmen starting on offense, which makes it all the more impressive. So you're thinking good things for college football fans in Southern California this weekend.
Right now, LA's got it going. You got USC in the mix, and USC's always better if UCLA is better. And this is the first time both teams have great potential since 2005. You know, this will be a good year for them.
Fantastic. Petros and Money Show airs weekday afternoons 4 to 7 on AM 570P. We love you, man. It's always great to have you on.
You guys going to bring me back another segment to do the bachelor pad stuff? Or?
Yeah, we'll call you right back. Yeah, sure. Wait by your phone.
Get right back.
See the car chase yesterday? How awesome was that?
I didn't see it. I heard about
Don't even start with the goddamn car chases again.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. How could you not like this? The guy was throwing out cash.
This is exactly why you watch them.
He was throwing cash out of his car.
Yeah.
What do you want?
So much. Because every single day I'm trying to watch my Billy Bush Access Hollywood Live or my Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Those all blow. You should be thrilled to replace it with something better.
3 days in a row now. They break in and go, oh, we're going to cover another moron driving around L.A. for an hour.
Well, Chuck, when we drove up to the scene here this morning, the word had already gone out far and wide. You had a couple of guys tossing cash out the windows while being chased by the cops. You know, for hundreds of people, it was simply too much to resist. They charged down here on foot, some in their cars. We even saw a gentleman rushing across the intersection of Vernon and Kansas Avenues in his motorized wheelchair. Now...
Come on, Bean! What do you want for entertainment? A guy in a motorized wheelchair was trying to rush down to the scene to get some cash.
Look, that is pretty sweet. I can't deny that. But here my whole thing.
You have to understand that law enforcement considers this a very dangerous kind of situation. The last thing they need while securing a crime scene and arresting bank robbery suspects is hundreds of people out on the streets. And tonight, the L.A. Sheriff's Department is investigating what may be a case of stolen property here. Possibly a bag of cash lifted from the suspect's vehicle during the chaos.
So while the police are... Yes. By the way, I have many things I have to say here. So please stop the tape for one second. So first on that point.
Yes.
Why the police... The guy's driving around for a freaking hour going around in circles, right? So he finally gets into some traffic jams that he can't get out of. The police jump out of their car, cars. They're right behind him. They approach the car with the guns drawn. As they're pulling people out of the car... handcuffing them and putting them into the police cruiser, this woman walks up, reaches into the car, grabs a bag of money, and takes off.
See, how could you ask for more entertainment?
That's the best.
No one died.
They shouldn't be putting this stuff on TV.
They should put all of it on TV.
There should be a channel
for this.
I would be fine if there were a channel to this because then it wouldn't be bumping shows that I want to watch.
But you're watching crap.
But B, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is you want to watch is being preempted for a stupid story that affects next to no one 99% of the time.
What about the crowd chanting,
"We want money! We want money! We want money!"
And here's the other thing. This is, please help me understand. And look, I know people are greedy, and I can't say that I wouldn't be interested if somebody were throwing bucket loads of cash out in front of my house. I might be tempted to run out there too. But you see on the news that these guys have just robbed a bank with a gun. You know that they're criminals inside this car with weapons, yet you're running toward the car as it's going through your
neighborhood. They're throwing money out of the car, being what point are you missing?
They're not going to shoot you. They just want you to get the money.
You don't know anything about these people. You have no idea
what
they're going to do.
Here's what I know.
Wow, more money.
That's what I know.
And then when the police finally do get these guys closed in and they're approaching them with guns drawn, I mean, honestly, I'm expecting there to be some sort of a shootout now. I'm expecting 30 people to get killed in this thing as the bank robbers open fire on the police and the police shoot back. What does the crowd do that's around that intersection? They start running toward the car. They start closing in on the car. Some of these people are 5 feet away from the police and the bank robbers as they're being arrested.
What part of their throwing money out of their car are you missing?
How stupid can these people be to run toward that situation?
Well, let's hear them.
My street was blocked off. It was crazy. It was like a riot. People were running over my car, asking to get in the car. Can I take them? Yes, to follow the car. It was a lot.
Gary Cabral said he could not resist grabbing a few bills.
I just want the hundreds. Huh. They should have thrown the bag.
He's just upset that there weren't any hundreds.
I just seen to throw some money, you know. I wish it was a couple of hundreds, you know, to put in my pocket. But
listen to this.
What'd you get?
This $2.
I'm going to give it back.
You got $2.
And why is that?
It's not mine. I mean, I felt kind of funny. I believe in karma.
Nevertheless, police tell CBS 2 News no one has turned in any money yet.
That car chase had everything. It had unexpected. You had no idea what was going to happen.
Yep.
No one got killed. Money was being thrown all over the place. A guy in a motorized wheelchair was going after it. Come on.
A dollar does make him holler. So what are the chances, I guess zero, that any of this money is being turned in, right?
Of course not.
And let me
me ask you this.
That girl got $2. What's she supposed to do? Turn it in?
Let me ask you this. Don't you think it's slightly irresponsible of the television channels to show a chase like this that's a potentially deadly situation, doing nothing but encouraging people to come out of their homes or to leave work or to drive over to where they are and get in the middle of that?
Their ethics are not my concern.
But don't you think that's irresponsible? They're on TV saying, hey, people, I know it's tempting to go out there and get this cash, but don't, because it's illegal and dangerous. Yet here we are showing you in live, real-time video where this car is.
They were warning people off with this guy.
Wow, more money.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's the code of silence that they, SEAL Team 6, has. They will never, the light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think that's true.
Oh,
I'm standing behind that statement.
I don't want the light of that to come to daylight.
No, no one does.
That's not our America.
That's bad for everyone.
That's right.
Oh, that's great.
That was so good.
It's worth getting up for this morning, wasn't it?
It absolutely was.
We're going to talk about a subject near and dear to Lisa May's heart, pity sex.
Yeah.
Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. We'll explain. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:54.
Lisa can't say no. That we found out about Lisa.
Yeah,
whether you want to go to lunch with her or you want to sleep with her, she is not good with confrontation.
Okay.
Oh, it's easier for me to say yes than it is to say no.
You insist.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
That guy who wrote that book, remember, about saying yes to everything for a year? That's Lisa's whole life.
It's true. Hey, great breaking news on the tales of the debut of X Factor last night.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Simon Cowell has debuted the new X headphones.
All right, then.
Here's the thing. Ever since Dre's Beats, those headphones, everybody now has to get in the headphone business. It's like what happened with clothes when Kathy Ireland started her clothing line at Kmart. Every half-assed celebrity thought they could slap their name on a clothing line and make a boatload of cash. And it turns out they were right.
Dre's Beats were huge.
And are.
That's
monster.
Monster. He makes a lot more money from that than from anything he's doing in music right now.
Monster, smash hit, successful headphones are the Beats. And now everyone remotely connected to music is trying to release.
50 Cent has some. I think Ludacris has some.
And now Simon Cowell has released the X headphones.
Nope.
I simply want something better than what was out on the market today, Cowell said. I've tried them. Literally every single one. I've set out to create the best headphone in the world. Listen, listen, listen. I am a guy who uses headphones every day for my work. I probably wear headphones more than most people. We all do, those of us in this room.
Agreed.
How much better can the best headphone be from the next best headphone? I mean, there's a difference if you're using crap.
Yeah.
$10 at a Best Buy or something. But if you have a good set of high-end headphones, how much better can the next best one be, or the one who's a little less good as the one you're wearing?
It's usually about 5% better for double the price. Is
right.
usually how it ends up working.
Right.
Yeah.
So if he's used every single headphone in the world, if he slapped Dre's Beats on his head, he can't say, how
terrible.
Do people use these? I have to get in the lab and come up with some headphones because this is just a crime against humanity. Stop with your lies, Simon Cowell. Stop with your lies. That's what we had to say today. $300, by the way, for the headphones. The X phones, if you want to pick them up.
No thanks.
Daily News, New York. Tested them out. Gave them high marks for sound and comfort. But
you know what else has sound and comfort? Every other pair of headphones
That's right.
for $300.
That's what I'm saying. And most of the crap people are listening to, they don't need to hear that carefully.
Yeah, this is coming from Simon Cowell, the guy who put One Direction
right.
together, by the way. Like, how good do his headphones need to be?
I need earplugs, not earphones! Anybody watch X Factor last night?
No.
Yeah.
We were trying to watch the other room. What's his name? Bin Laden down there.
Omar?
Yeah. We slapped it up on the screen and we started watching it. About 20 minutes in, nobody had sung yet. I know that much.
What?
Oh, yeah. It was backstage with Britney putting her makeup on, talking about how excited she is, and it's them showing up in limos and cheering crowds. Like you're watching the Beatles arrive at Shea Stadium. It was just so much hype. 20 minutes in, no one had put lips to a microphone yet. Oh, yeah. She was there.
She was there, who's looking like a rougher Pam Anderson now.
Uh-oh.
She's not aging well.
Uh-oh.
But it was fun to watch Simon Cowell wring the last drops of fame out of Britney Spears for his own purposes. He is like an evil genius. God bless him. Maxwell is the name of Jessica Simpson's new baby girl. A lot of people upset. She was on the Katie Couric show this week, showing how much weight she hasn't lost. And
she's still fat?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Had a photo of her baby Maxwell she brought along to slap up on the screen. And here's the thing. It's a newborn baby. And she was posing in a bikini.
Yeah.
The baby was posing in a bikini.
Come on.
And a lot of child welfare charities and agencies are saying it is disturbing to see a young baby presented to the world in a bikini. It's totally inappropriate and continues to sexualize and commercialize infants. And usually I'm a live and let live guy, whatever you want to do, unless you're hurting somebody, I don't care. But it was really, it bugged me when I saw it. I was like, that's really sort of gross and inappropriate.
Me too, yeah. I mean, and this is how I knew the Katie Couric
show. Something runs afoul of us.
Yeah. Yes. When I'm offended by something, you're really acting out.
And I could tell that Katie was not going to be a show for me when she had, A, Jessica Simpson on as her first guest, but B, cooed over that photo along with Jessica. When that photo went up on the screen, she's like, oh, that's so cute. I thought, this is not a woman who shares my sensibilities, because she should be lambasting Jessica Simpson for doing that to her. She should be saying, why are you so stupid, Jessica Simpson? That's a show I'll watch.
I don't think
What's
we're going to get that.
What's wrong
with
show. You?
I don't think we're going to get that. Show.
And they should definitely take the kid away from her, right?
Well, I don't think it's that far. It's not abuse, but it is really inappropriate. It's like Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, right. Totally. But what fighting chance does that kid have with Jessica Simpson as a mother? Come on.
Well, we don't know the dad. Maybe he'll be able to counteract some of her
badness,
vapidity.
Yeah. She's lost 40 pounds, by the way, but Kevin, you're right. She doesn't look like she's lost one. She says she's lost 40, but
all
her Weight Watchers
is,
ads are from the neck up.
Yeah, all I know is if one of her spanks were to burst, there would have been about 40 murdered people in that studio. The whole front six or seven rows would have been taken out. She was wrapped tighter than a mummy in a sarcophagus. She looked like she could barely breathe with the spanks and then the tightest, blackest dress you've ever seen.
Just screaming for relief?
Creating just sort of a black hole where you couldn't really see her curves. But, it was
fatty, magical. Fatty, 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 fatty.
And the Biebs in the news. Justin Bieber.
Now what?
Has been offered a tryout with the Bakersfield Condors of California. That's right. The minor league hockey team.
Says is a douche.
They need a good right-handed shot. And apparently the Bieb has it.
Sure.
No word from Bieber whether he will actually take him up on the tryout or not, but he is apparently a hockey player. The Condor said they'll even give him his favorite number 6 on his jersey if he decides to skate for them. So maybe seeing Justin Bieber suiting up for the Bakersfield Condors sometime soon.
That seems unlikely.
I'm going to go further than that and say impossible. I'm going to go further than that and say it'll happen, and they'll win the Stanley Cup of minor league. It's the Cup. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeffrey Ross is 47 years old. Steve Perkins of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, drummer for both those bands, 45. Fiona Apple's 35. Ben Savage from Boy Meets World. A lot of people listening have very fond memories of that TV series. He is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Rise Against and Gaslight Anthem together September 29th at the Honda Center. Details at KROQ.com. You can enter to win tickets there. You can also win them this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And real quick, we haven't mentioned this in a couple of hours. You got to go to KevinandBean.com and check out the gallery of Kevining photos, which continues to expand hourly almost as you send in your pictures. You recreate Kevin's now infamous pose from the Arclight movie theater advertisement. Did you see who we added to the gallery this morning, Kevin? Have you checked it out?
There's more this morning?
Yes.
Who?
Tina Fey, now Kevining. Jack McBrayer, who of course plays Kenneth on 30 Rock. Thanks to our friend Jack Burdett, who works on the staff there at 30 Rock. He got them to take their pictures yesterday. Tina freaking Fey!
Yeah.
This is a photo that 2 weeks ago you thought no one would ever see it. If they did, it would be a one-day thing and then people would forget about it.
I was hoping that was the case.
Stars now. People all over the world. Babies, dogs, cats, praying mantises. Everybody is Kevining. So you can add your photo to the gallery at kevinandbean.com. All the instructions are right there. And please do take your picture, send it in. We'd love to have you on the website.
All right, let's talk about pity sex, because this is something that women are nice about.
Yeah.
Women every once in a while go, you know what?
All right.
I'm going to throw you a bone.
I'll take it. I'll take one for the team. You seem like you deserve it.
Really? No girl has ever slept with you ever? All right. I'll just, okay.
Tell me about that.
It means that much to you.
And then we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Are we looking for both? Are we looking for guys who have been the recipients of pity sex, or are we looking for just girls who have given pity sex?
Well, guys don't know they've gotten pity sex generally, do they? Right. Crazy egos?
Probably don't, yeah.
What are the categories that that exist, Lisa, that would make pity sex possible? I mean, imagine one is an ex-boyfriend or something like that. You guys are breaking up, right?
Yes. And
it's like one last time.
He's so upset because you're ending it. And so you...
All right.
Okay, so let's do this.
So the guidelines, though, for pity sex would be you don't do it because you necessarily want to, or you're horny for this guy,
right,
or you're even super attracted to him in some cases if you don't know him all that well. Just you're doing it as a favor.
Yes. And right. And the virgin one, I mean, that one I actually had an experience with.
Is that right?
Yeah. Sometimes you find a guy who's really nice and really, really likes you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you just go... All right. Although that's always a mistake because they follow you around forever like a puppy dog. Don't
so,
do that.
in the case of the virgin, why did he think you were doing it? Did he think you were doing it because you were into him?
Yes,
of course.
Of course, yes.
Oh, really? So you didn't let him know that I'm just doing you a favor here just to kind of...
No, but it was casual. So you kind of hope that he gets that's the nature of the thing, and
nope,
then he moves on,
nope,
and lives his life.
That doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
I watch a show called The Strike Back on Cinemax, and it's about...
So what is that? What's that about?
It's about special forces from Britain, and they're going around the world, and it's basically these two soldiers, and one of the soldiers beds every woman he meets, all of the attractive women.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you see an attractive woman on the show, you know, okay, he's going to have sex with her. So he has sex with this woman, and then he goes off, and as he's leaving, he's going into Mogadishu to rescue some people on his own, and he wants to know if he can see her again.
Am I going to get to see you again?
Not if you're going into Mogadishu single-handed. Don't you know sympathy f- when you've had one?
Now.
You know, a sympathy F when you've had one. So
all right,
she does it. She does it because he's going to die.
Yeah.
So he
likely
might as well have something nice in the last day.
I imagine a lot of servicemen have been serviced because they're going off.
Yeah, I can see
don't
that.
Think?
I can see that just before they leave for war.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Or just because they're back and you're grateful for their service, I would imagine.
Lisa.
That probably happens too.
1-800-520-1067. We're probably going to have to talk to women because guys probably don't recognize it when it does happen.
But do guys do it?
Well, yeah, they'll fall on a grenade for their friend. If that's what you're saying.
Do they ever do it for the woman?
Oh, God, no.
No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I guess there are probably circumstances like that, but for some reason, it seems to me like the guy's going to get more out of it, though. Than
always, yeah, that's
always,
true.
You know what I mean? Like, that's when you're doing it, it's not even like you're assured of an orgasm.
Yeah,
you know what
you're
I
just
mean?
Holding your breath.
Yeah, you're just looking at your watch,
hold your nose,
TV or something like that. All right, let's take, is this Ed on the phone? Should we take one guy and just kind of see how it goes? Ed is on line 5, but we're mostly looking for ladies.
This does not bode well.
800-520-1067. You have been a good person and have given pity sex. We want to hear your stories. But, Ed, let's hear what happened to you.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi there.
Ed still sounds depressed.
Hey, Ed.
It does.
Hey.
What's going on? What's wrong, dude?
I was 22, and I was still a virgin. And
hard to believe.
Yeah. And my best one, my friend at the time, she goes, okay. She said, let's knock it out. And we did. And about 3 weeks later, she switches to the other team.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
did that just for you. I mean, that clearly held no... She switched to the other team before you. You know that, right?
I think so, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But she wanted me to... You're like a man. So
yeah.
But let me ask
how
let me
did
ask
that
you
work
this,
out
so
for
it just
you,
built
Ed.
You with confidence, I can tell.
45 minutes is pretty good. So.
Okay. All right.
I lasted that long.
All right. I'm calling BS. Thanks for calling.
We're total BS. Look, 45 minutes, if you include getting up, getting a shower, getting dressed, driving to her house, having sex, turning around and going back, yeah.
That
there's no
lying.
Way, Ed.
Right. Liar.
There's no way he's telling the truth.
Liar.
Right? And by the way, I also think that in the case of the Virgin with Ed, if his story has any truth to it, and the same the guy that you were talking about, Lisa, the guy probably doesn't even care that it's pity sex. If he's doing it to lose, if you're doing it to help him lose his virginity, that's all that he's concentrating on is, okay, now I've done it, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I don't think they care.
So there's no loser there in that pity sex situation.
No. Not until they start following Lisa around.
Well, yeah, there's that. Right. Then you have to break their heart.
That part sucks.
All right, quick break. We want your calls. Ladies, tell us about your pity sex experiences. 1-800-520-1067 right after this on the Kevin Beach
Show. I lasted an hour 45, I tell you right.
Dr. Drew's going to be back on VH1 this weekend with a new rehab show, this time Sons Celebrities. We'll hear all about it coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, talking about pity sex, talking about how women are so much better than men because occasionally they'll throw you a bone. Or they'll take yours. Woof writes in, frequent Kevin and Bean commenter Woof writes in, biggest example of pity sex I can think of is when the King of Mexico had sex with that Miss Double December. That's it, actually. That's a really good point,
yeah.
Actually.
Good point.
Jennifer, you hang on. Rachel, hang on. We're going to get right to you. First, though, Stephanie is up. She is on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about pity sex. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi.
Okay, so a few years ago, I had this friend, and a mutual friend of ours had died, which happened to be his best friend.
Oh.
We were hanging out at his house, and I just felt so bad for him. I felt bad, so I had sex with him to cheer him up.
Yeah, it's like, what can you do?
Yeah.
I mean, words
yeah.
will only take you so far.
Yeah.
So
but
you're
I was not attracted to him.
Words will not take you that far, I'll tell you that right now.
This is so interesting to me. So you guys are sitting around, and he's just a bummer. Like, he hasn't had a thing to smile about because his best friend had died, and he had nothing to get excited about. So you just, like, a light bulb went off over your head, and you thought, I know what'll make this guy happy for a few minutes.
Yes, exactly, and it did for
this
a little
is
bit, but
why...
then he kept texting me after that, trying to get some more, and I
yeah.
was like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, so did you make it clear to him, hey, I'm going to do this as a one-time thing just to bring you out of your funk?
No, I didn't. No. I didn't want to, like,
no, you can't do that.
Because that doesn't yeah. give him, that doesn't cheer him up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you did a very nice thing. Thank you, Stephanie.
Women are better than men.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to Jennifer on line six. As you know, if there's one thing you've learned on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's that all Jennifers are hot. So let's find out who the lucky guy was in her life. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Lisa May, how
Hi
are
there.
You?
I'm good.
I actually had a best friend. He was kind of the chubby guy of the group. He was super funny, super nice, although he was really insecure. And we were just kind of sitting out, hanging out one night, and he, you know, was kind of bummed that he hadn't lost his virginity yet. And so I kind of helped him out. And it was kind of like, he was my best friend. And after that, he ended up meeting a really nice girl. He was with her for 8 years. And
wait a minute. Hold on a second. Jennifer, did you skip the did this whole story skip the part where he texts you every day wanting more? I mean, did he not do that?
He did, actually. It was kind of more of an insecurity thing, and I kind of did it to make him confident.
Right.
He wasn't huge. He wasn't skinny. He was just, you know, a little on the chubby side and was super insecure. And
so you boosted his ego. That worked, and he found another woman.
Yeah, he did.
Nice job.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well done.
Wow. To this day, I'm now married, and... And he calls my husband, actually, and they'll come over. He'll come over, have some beers. I've known his girlfriend. She's really sweet and kind of worked out. Maybe it's an odd story, but
that is strange.
It worked out that way.
What did it do immediately afterward to your friendship after you had had sex with him?
I think we just kind of joked around about it, and I, you know, kind of give him, you know, crap about it here and there, and, you know, oh, hey, you know, how are you doing?
Every time you brought that up, he was hoping it was going to lead to another go-round.
I'm assuming so, but yeah. He did find a really beautiful girl after that, and she's awesome.
That's awesome.
Too, so.
Thank Sweet. You for the call, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Lola writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, I broke up with a boyfriend a few years ago. When I went to pick up my stuff that I had left at his house, he said, please, 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 how about one more time? So I figured, why not? Well, the guy was a wreck. We started going at it, and he began crying his eyes out. Never again will I have pity sex. Let's talk to Rachel on line seven. Oh. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you have for us?
Hi, good morning. So when I was on study abroad, I was spending a year in Israel, and the dynamic in Israel, for some reason, the girls can always find Israeli guys to sleep with, but the guys can never get laid because the American girls want to sleep with the Israeli boys, and the Israeli girls are just not interested. So there was this guy in my program who's an American guy with us who hadn't been laid in about 2 years.
Right.
And he was kind of bothering two of my girlfriends in the program to sleep with him, but neither of them wanted to. Neither of them were interested. So I basically slept with him so that he would stop bothering them, and it worked.
It worked.
Wow.
So,
what a good friend you are.
So you took the bullet for your two friends because they didn't want to do it, and it worked, and he didn't then start following you and stalking you?
Nope. No, I mean, we were in the program together. We remained friends. We hung out a lot. He got a girlfriend a couple months later. I got a boyfriend a couple months later, and it just kind of worked out.
See, people? See, that's the American story right there.
Girls are better. Girls are better.
Girls are better.
So glad Dr. Drew is on the phone. We got a lot of ground to cover with him about his new rehab show debuting on VH1 this Sunday night at 8. But first, Drew, we must start with an apology. How are you today?
Really? You guys are like, uh-oh. I know. There's always got to be something behind the apology. So
nope.
Go ahead.
Not in this case.
Nope. This is a real life apology on the red carpet of the MTV Video Music Awards. You were nice enough to come over and talk to Beer Mug, who was there with the K-Rock microphone. We want to apologize for the waste of your time and the brain cells that you lost in that 45 seconds you spent with Muggs.
Thank you. I was hoping somebody would notice that. And let's make note also that he was cast across the street. They had him in his own special area. He was walled off from the rest of the world.
That's true of him in life in general.
Here's 3 seconds of how Dr. Drew's time was wasted.
I'm a doctor.
Of what?
Partying.
Yeah, that's how that interview went. We've talked to you about many things in the news the last few weeks we've had John, but we've been keeping an eye on the calendar because we knew that this weekend was fast approaching. VH1, you're back with a new rehab show, and this is a show you've told us you've been wanting to do for a long time where you take the celebrity factor out and just focus on real people. Why was that important for you to do, Doc?
Well, a couple things. I mean, first of all, addiction affects everyone. Secondly, it's what I do in my day in, day out life is take care of regular folk. And thirdly, I wanted to make the point that when the day is done, you can't distinguish between celebrity and regular people when somebody's in treatment for addiction. It affects everybody the same way. The treatment is the same. And in this particular case, this group, it's a really great group of people, but boy, they were very ill. And this is going to be a much more intense ride for people. And I applaud VH1 for showing more of the treatment this time, too. So you really have a chance to learn about how severe addiction affects people. The other thing is, we did this show back in April, and the 6 of the 8 are still in active treatment on a regular basis.
Wow.
We talk to them almost every day, yeah.
But the one question I have about celebrities, though, where I think that it might be different and they might distinguish themselves from regular people is, aren't they even more secretive about what they're addicted to because they have a public image to worry about, whereas the guy who works at the auto parts store doesn't?
Yeah, I suppose. But the folks who we're treating right now are really far along in their addiction. There would be no way to hide this. A lot of them have been, on ventilators, overdoses, severe liver disease, this kind of thing.
Wow. So they're not functioning.
Well, to some extent, some are. But when we get them at that point, they're really medically ill and really in trouble. And that kind of excited me because, Shelley, Bob, I, and Sasha, I mean, we sort of specialize in treating people that are really sick. And we can really help. And that was very, very appealing to me.
What are the range of things that this crop is addicted to?
Well, you're going to see severe alcohol addiction, which we've never seen on yet. Severe alcohol withdrawal and seizure and all that good stuff. Pills. Most of the young people start with oral opiates. And then this is a part of the story that people I don't think understand, which is that, the reason heroin is still such a big deal is most heroin addicts these days start with pills. They get strung out on pills. The pills are too expensive. Heroin is cheaper. They start by smoking it, but it's even cheaper to shoot it, and that's just what they do. The other thing is, and it's important to keep in mind of why we're still treating everybody so actively, is that when you're on in your addiction, you really lose everything. And when you get treatment, you have to start life over from the bottom. You have to literally change everything, where you live, who you hang out with, what your job is, your whole sense of yourself. And when people talk about there being a pill to treat addiction, I've got to remind them that you are rebuilding your life from zero. And there ain't never going to be a pill that takes care of that.
And I would imagine one of the hardest things to do, and we saw this with Michael Lohan and some of the others on the celebrity versions of your show, is to cut yourself off from those people that are dangerous because in many cases they're family members or they're your closest friends, the people you spend the most time with. I bet every single one of them says to you, no, I can still be clean and still hang out with those people.
That's a very common thing. And in fact, everyone in their life who does remain in their life needs to be going to Al-Anon or do some sort of active participation, because if they're not part of the solution, they become a persistent part of the problem. But you're right about the people hanging around with celebrities. Part of the problem with celebrities is they have people that they make money for, or on behalf of. And
right.
So those people want them to get right back to work, and going right back to work is often a liability. We don't have that with these people. These people are looking for dishwashing jobs and, you know, things where they just start over and just start learning how to support themselves again sober.
Is drinking, it seems like drinking would be way more difficult to quit just because, A, it's legal, B, it's accepted, C, it's everywhere social. I mean, it just seems like it would be hard to stay away from alcohol.
And Dean, Kevin has just told us something about himself.
How dare you, sir?
Kevin has given this one a lot of thought, doctor.
But he's actually made a really good point, which is that alcohol is so accepted and so ubiquitous. And in fact, if you think about certain cultures, like in Ireland, where drinking is so reinforced, it's almost impossible, or in France, it's almost impossible to stay sober when people just say, what's the big deal? Why can't you just control it? There will, in fact, I'm not sure if this is going to get on the show, but we bring in a woman who actually established a program involved with controlling and moderating alcohol. And of course, she ends up killing somebody and going to prison because you can you can never moderate your alcohol use once you've thrown the switch on this disease.
Is that one of the harder ones to kick?
Well, it's funny. The king is heroin and opiates. Meth is really hard. And of course, if you're a cocaine addict, it's no easier. But, pot and alcohol are sort of special in that they're so much a part of our culture, they're so reinforced, there's so much defensiveness against looking at these things as problematic for some people, because for most people it's not a problem.
Right.
But for those for whom it is a problem, you really have to be aware that it is treachery just to be walking around in American culture.
Before we say goodbye to our friend Dr. Drew again, the program is called Rehab with Dr. Drew. It premieres on VH1 this Sunday night at 8, and it sounds like a must-see program. You've been really making the rounds. I saw you on with Kathy Lee and Hoda this morning.
I'm out in front of my daughter goes to college in New York City. I'm right in front of her dorm right now. I just finished the Kathy Lee thing, yes.
Yeah, you did. You were on The View, The Today Show. Any disasters, any problems so far with all the press, with all these people you've had to deal with, or has it been a cakewalk?
It's been pretty nice. I'm trying to think of this, but I'm doing Wendy Williams in a few minutes here.
That'll be the one. That'll be the one where they bring out a paternity test or something's going to go wrong on that show.
Well, there's a couple of guys in Los Angeles that do this radio show. I've been very nervous about them.
AMD,
I think, is the radio show. Other than that, it's been great.
Those guys are asses.
Sunday night at 8 on VH1, Rehab with Dr. Drew. Thanks, Doc. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. Thanks.
Why are you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wearing the Batman scowl. Is that what you call it? Scowl? Face mask, whatever it is?
It's called cowl.
I don't know.
It's called a cowl.
You're thinking of Simon Scowl, that judge on TV.
Why are you wearing that?
Because I'm Batman.
But you're not.
I am.
It's Ralph Garman. You didn't even like the last Batman movie.
I have to save the city. I have to put this nuclear bomb in my Batwing. Even though the autopilot's not working. I should have gotten the damn autopilot fixed. I told Abra to take care of it, but no one did. So now it's up to me to save Gotham. I'll take you.
Ralph, is this your...
Sometimes all it takes to be a hero is to put a coat over a young boy's shoulders.
Right.
Let him know the world hasn't
ended.
Is
this your tribute to our guest coming up after 9 o'clock?
No, it's not.
It has nothing to do with the fact that we're talking to Adam West, TV's
Batman.
In about 15 minutes.
No, I'm Batman.
You're Batman.
I'm the hero.
I thought he was Batman.
K-Rock deserves. Not the one they need.
Now, are you the one that stayed in your room for 8 years
for no
reason?
I took some time off. Took a little vacation.
Right.
But I'm back.
Where'd you go?
For one last mission before I retire again with my girlfriend in Italy to drink coffee in a cafe. Wait for my butler to show up. I only sit there a long time waiting for
him. Seems like you didn't care very much about crime being committed.
Well.
Seems like you kind of walked away from your number one job,
crime.
Which is fighting crime.
If you come to my house and steal my pearls, then I get really upset.
But that's to be your stuff?
Again. Yeah. Or blow up the city. Or poison the water supply. Other than that, I really can't be bothered. Because I'm the hero Gotham deserves, not the one they need.
Really?
Yes.
Take it off.
No. If I take it off, you'll know my secret identity of Bruce Wayne.
Ralph Garman, take it off.
Did I just say that? Even though you know my secret identity, if you talk to me, I'll still use the Batman voice.
I'd rather you didn't.
Even if we're on a rooftop. If you're on a rooftop and you're Selina Kyle and you say, Bruce, we have to go. And I go, oh, okay. But I want you to come back and help me fight crime. I could just say, yeah, okay, I'm Bruce. But no, I wouldn't do that. Because when I wear the mask, I have to keep the voice on. The voice and the mask are one and the same.
Are you going to come back and work with Robin
it's
now?
It's not what I stand for, not what I do.
What?
It's not what I do, it's what I stand for.
No.
Someone built me a statue. I got to go. Hey, where'd Bruce Wayne go? He disappeared the same time Batman did. Anybody put two and two together? Guess not. Don't confuse my movie with logic. I'm Batman.
Adam West joins us after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, I hope, here on the Kevin Abeach Show.
This came from Batman Live. Batman Live just dropped off a whole box full of toys and goodies and Batman potato that. Heads and masks and bat signals you flash in the sky.
Nice.
Greatest thing ever. Just got a huge box of Batman swag, and now I'm never going to take this Batman mask.
When are you going to Batman Live, Ralph?
The 27th of September, opening night at Staples Center. Yeah, yeah.
It looks like awesome. It's crushing your nose. Your nose looks like it's being crushed under the mask.
I will crush you like a crushed Bane.
It is, though.
Of course, he did dislocate my spine, but other than that...
You can't breathe.
I think I had him. What? Don't take a picture of me. I'm Batman. Batman can't have his picture taken.
Tweet that, Dave.
Don't tweet that, Dave.
Because people figure out who you are. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
It would be very painful for you.
Here's Bane.
Here's the showbiz news. Good news for Saturday Night Live fans.
You're not taking it off, are you?
Nope.
Okay. Just
checking. Dave, come in and please take a picture of the website.
He did. Yeah, he did. Jason Sudeikis is not leaving the show after all.
Really? That is great news.
It is great news. He's terrific. The funniest guy on that show. There was speculation that he'd leave along with his co-stars Kristen Wiig and Andy Samberg, but apparently SNL announced yesterday that Jason will be sticking around.
Which is really good news, considering he plays Joe Biden and Mitt Romney. And
yes.
Both of them may be needed this season.
They need
season.
Him. Speaking of presidential impressions, Jay Farrow will be taking over the President Obama impression from Fred Armisen for the upcoming season.
What? You can't have a black guy play our president.
What? Lorne Michaels told the New York Times he just thought it was time to shake it up. So they're going to make a little shift there in impression duties. Seth MacFarlane, by the way, is the host for the premiere episode of the 38th season of SNL this weekend. Frank Ocean will be the musical guest. 38 seasons.
It's amazing.
That show's been on the air.
It's amazing it's still on.
It sure is.
It's a good show, you guys.
Nope.
You don't even watch it.
That's right.
You don't either. You skim through bad. Half of it.
I watch it every week.
You have to take that off so you can breathe? Week. But do you watch every minute of it?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
It's got moments. It's better than it has been in a while, but still. That's all I got to say. But still. Well, we're talking about television. Bill Maher is going to be an upcoming edition of The Good Wife. He will play himself on the episode. Big, high-profile guest star list this year for The Good Wife. One of my favorite shows. If you're not watching that, you're a fool.
I'm not.
You're a fool! Maura Tierney, Brian Dennehy, Christina Ricci.
Wow.
Will all be joining the cast at some point during the season. And Judd Hirsch returning to television on that show as well. And more TV news / movie news.
Slash is in a movie?
Oh, Gilligan. It's official. Doug Ellen has announced he has finished the screenplay for the Entourage movie. Yes, there will be an Entourage major motion picture. He says it picks up about 6 months after the HBO series left, which wrapped up last year. So for Entourage fans, you will get to see Turtle and Drama and Vince and Ari returning to a big screen near you.
I wonder what that means for those of me, people like me. Who left this show 3 years ago?
Nothing. The plot is the same of every episode. Same every episode, right? You know that.
For those of me who haven't watched, I think probably won't be going to the movie theater. I'm guessing if you gave up on the series 3 years ago, I'm guessing you're eager to rush to the theater to see the movie. I know a lot of people didn't care for it. I watched every episode, every season, and I did enjoy it. So there was enough byplay between the characters and stuff to keep me interested, regardless of the fact it was a little repetitive there towards the end. But I will see the movie. And is Justin Bieber going to play professional hockey?
No. Don't be insulting to professional hockey.
I think it's more likely that I'll see the Entourage movie and Justin Bieber will play professional hockey.
Apparently he's pretty good.
Nope.
That's what they say.
Nope.
What looks to be a publicity stunt, the Bakersfield Condors of California, a minor league hockey team, have offered the Biebs a tryout for the upcoming season. Coach says he's heard Justin has a great right-handed shot and he needs a right-hander at the point. So bring in the Biebs. Wouldn't you like to see Biebs get roughed up on the ice?
Yeah, that I would like to see.
I'd like to see him get hip-checked into about the third row. That'd be entertaining. Or catch a puck with his teeth going about 400 miles an hour.
He'd start
his head clear off.
Any of that happened.
No, he's a man now. Have you heard?
Yeah.
Stop treating him like a boy. He's a man.
Yep.
He announced this week he's a man, which thank God he did because none of us knew it. That's why you have to do those press releases because we still thought he was a lesbian. What do we know? Adele is going to be the artist who sings the newest James Bond theme song.
Great choice.
Yep. She was in Abbey Road Studios earlier this month, cutting the track to the title song, Skyfall, which, of course, is the name of the next James Bond movie, which will be out on November the 9th. Directed by Sam Mendes. Daniel Craig back as 007. This, to me, looks to be like the Bond movie I've been waiting for out of Daniel Craig.
Does look good. People.
It looks like a Bond movie. The other two were interesting, and I know they're rebooting the franchise. They're trying to put their own stamp on it, but this looks like a classic Bond film to me from everything I can see. So,
we got Adele singing the next James Bond theme, huh?
Yes,
well, let's
yes.
go through some title choices here.
All right.
Golden Sigh, The Buffet Is Not Enough, Pie Another Day, and, of course, you can wrap the whole thing up with Casino Royale with cheese.
There you go.
That's why we're the professionals.
See, because
that's why we don't lean so much on the listener-written comedy.
She's heavy, I think, is what his point was, is that he's making food references because she's not as thin as she might be.
Hey, B.
You want to confound the unfunny?
Got it.
By being unfunnier on top of it? Today's celebrity birthdays, Ben Savage from Boy Meets World is 32 years old today. People said, no, Fred Savage wasn't on Boy Meets World. I didn't say Fred Savage. I said Ben Savage, his brother. Fred, of course, was on The Wonder Years.
Sure.
Ben Savage was on Boy Meets World, as was Danielle Fischel, by the way. Topanga. Topanga. I'd like to explore her canyon. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know what I'm saying there?
No.
You know I'm to Topanga Canyon?
No.
Get a little place in Topanga Canyon? Good little one-bedroom place in Topanga Canyon. That's all I want. Fiona Apple is 35 years old today. Steve Perkins, drummer for Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, is 45. And comedian Jeffrey Ross celebrates his 47th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So you go down there to Hollywood, Ralph, and you're standing in front of the Guinness Museum there on Hollywood Boulevard, and you look down at the sidewalk, and you know what you see?
A drunken transvestite hooker.
Right, but then right next to her, what do you see?
Ah, you see the star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame for the legendary actor, icon, philanthropist, Adam West.
Adam West, ladies and gentlemen, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Mayor, how are you?
Well, I'm well, thank you. I'm just thinking about the Kamikaze this weekend.
Yes.
Downtown.
The convention center, right?
Yes, and I'm making a one-day appearance. Got to get out there and meet those folks.
Sure.
And when are you going to be here?
You're doing Saturday, right, Adam?
Yeah, Saturday only.
And you're going to have your old chum with you, aren't you?
Yes. The boy Blunder. A wonder. Yes. And I think Catwoman will be there.
Julie Newmar, right?
Yeah. And the mysterious and omnipresent Stan Lee.
Yeah, this is kind of Stan's deal, this Kamikaze convention down
there. Yes, it is. He's very, very important.
He and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson, I think, are putting this together. And they're trying to make it, I guess, the Comic-Con for L.A. what like it is down there in San Diego.
Well, they'll probably succeed because Stan is, as you can see, an amazing combination of The Flash and Plastic Man and Green Lantern.
Yes. He's done all right. He does have a phenomenal amount of energy for a man his age, as do you, by the way, but I'm so impressed with how much he gets done. He seems to be everywhere.
He's amazing, and I'm just going in his comet's trail.
this event, I know you do a number of appearances each year where you meet the fans of your Batman television series, but you don't do a lot of them with Julie and Bert together, right? It's not super common. It's a real good opportunity for fans of the Batman show to get together and meet all three of you at one time, right?
Well, what it is, Ralph, is that you?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. As always, I'm here at your beck and call like Alfred the Butler. I'm right by your side, sir.
I know. I'm so impressed, Ralph. Really, you've been such a good friend. Get over here and have breakfast.
All right. I'll be right over.
Don't think he won't leave right now.
Anyway, Bert's going to be there.
All right.
And Julie, who is always languorous and long-legged.
Yes. Mm. Do you guys find you have the same chemistry that you had those years ago in the 60s when you were making the series? When you get back together again, do you kind of fall into the same patterns?
Well, guys, that's a good question because the answer is yes. And it's amazing. The moment we get together and get on the stage, and I guess it's like a lot of dynamic duos or whatever, that chemistry, that relationship comes back and it becomes funny and fun.
Are you still amazed year after year the number of young people, even little kids who come up who are excited to meet you because they've caught up with the show in reruns?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not at all. You don't like kids or they're not doing it?
Well, no, Ralph, because I'm nice to people.
Yes, you are.
Yes, very. But
and now that the show's on the hub, Bean,
exactly.
I mean, there's a brand new generation of fans who are catching it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like I've got every age now, and I'm very grateful. And then there's Family Guy.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
And exciting news, Adam, since we talked last, there was an announcement made at Comic-Con and some other places that it looks like we're finally going to be able to get some Adam West Batman merchandise on the shelves sometime soon. Are you excited about that?
Yes, sort of.
Sort of.
A whole bunch of new stuff for you to sign.
We're much more excited about all of the things happening with your career than you are.
Well, I'm more excited about my Belgian waffle here.
Oh, see, we're keeping Mr. West sorry breakfast.
Take you from that.
It's getting cold. Okay.
Anyways, it's great to talk to you guys, and I'll look forward to Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be down there, Adam. I'm going to stop by and see you. Kevin Smith, I know, is going to sit down and interview with you guys, so I told him I'd come by and sit down with you guys and help him out.
This Saturday, September 15th, 3 p.m. at the Kamikaze Expo main stage.
Excuse me, I just want to give out the website so people can go and buy tickets. It's Kamikaze, and it's spelled like comic, C-O-M-I-K-A-Z-E, expo.com. And it's going on Saturday and Sunday. There's a full schedule of events both days, but Adam's piece is going to be Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Yes, we'll give you the final word, Mr. West.
Yep, we'll be sacrificing ourselves like a good kamikaze.
All right, thanks for the time.
Okay,
bye. Yeah.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Come on!
I wonder what that means for those of me, people like me, who left this show 3 years ago.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He's the gift that keeps on giving today, isn't he?
It's Christmas every day.
Muggs, can you find the one from earlier today? Can we hear that
one? Let's hear it earlier today. Let's do the double, the daily double.
Because I don't want people to miss either of these golden greats.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's the code of silence that SEAL Team 6 has. They will never, the light of that will never come to, you know, to daylight.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
Those are both from today.
That's one day's worth.
It's fantastic. Most broadcasters in their career don't have a meltdown like either one of those. Kevin gave them both to us in like 2 hours.
You know who's obsessed with Kevin?
Sarah Shahi,
yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Bitch.
She came into the show yesterday and was so obsessed with Kevining that she shot like a full photo shoot here in the studio. Let me do another one. Kept reshooting her Kevining photos because she wasn't satisfied with it. And she left and we said goodbye. And we said, oh, well, that was nice of her to contribute to the Kevining page of the KevinandBean.com and KROQ.com. And she left and we figured she'd go back to her life. Well, she's apparently doing Access Hollywood today. And she's at the set of Access Hollywood and she tweets out, Kevining in Access Hollywood. She's still shooting Kevining pictures, this time from the set of Access Hollywood.
She's the best.
And then yesterday,
you mean the
worst.
We
get from the set of 30 Rock, we get Jack McBrayer, who plays Kenneth on the show, Kevining, and then Liz Lemon herself, Tina Fey, also Kevining from the set of 30 Rock, in New York City.
I just can't believe this even happened. Oh, my goodness.
I agree.
Kevining is sweeping the nation, literally sweeping the nation from coast to coast. And our allies abroad. And when you're on the dance floor. When you're on the dance floor.
Ralph, don't play this.
More often than not
to do the showbiz.
You will hear.
Come on.
And you'll see all the kids dancing the new dance, the Kevining, to this smash hit record, which is climbing the charts.
I have to push the button. It's like making me beat myself.
Hey, boys and girls. Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining. And I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
Duh.
You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
Duh.
You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
Duh.
You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
What's Kevining?
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
So go to KevinAmin.com or KROQ.com. Take a look at the ever-expanding gallery with photos from all over the world. And
this
kids
has been a great week, huh? What a way to wrap it up. What a way to end it. What a high note.
Send in
to go out on,
Jimmy,
huh?
Kimmel with Kevining.
Who's with me?
Kevining.
Why would we stop that it sure now when it seems to be gaining more momentum than ever? More
that
celebrities
sure
than ever are Kevining. Why would we stop it now?
Sarah Shahi.
When Romney and Obama come out for the debates and they both start Kevining before they start answering questions,
I'd give you $1,000.
That's when we'll stop. That's right. The point where we will have achieved full saturation of Kevining.
You're the new Gangnam Style, man.
You are.
Nothing you can do about it.
Kevining. You're Kevining. All right, before I get to showbiz news, I do have more tickets to give away to our special K-Rock advance screening of The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yay!
This new movie stars Emma Watson and Paul Rudd about an introverted freshman who's taken under the wings of two seniors who welcome him to the real world and the high-stakes world of high school politics. If you want to see it before anybody else, it's Thursday, September the 20th at the Landmark Theater. Special K-Rock advance screening. Three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call that number first. Three people through. Get a pair of passes to see The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Movies and theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 21st. By the way, in case you don't win, you still want to check it out, and you should because it looks good. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Heidi Klum was on Katie Couric's show yesterday and admitted that she was indeed dating her longtime bodyguard, Martin Kristen. Now, here's the thing. Seal, at the end of our marriage, accused Heidi of cheating on him with that same said bodyguard.
Uh-oh.
She denied it. But now she announced that she is dating him.
It could have happened that way.
Yeah, it could have, Lisa. You're right.
He may have even given her the idea.
Because he's around for 4 years bodyguarding Heidi and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't attracted to him at all, I'm sure, at that point.
She barely noticed him, I bet.
I'm sure she didn't. Who's that? What is there? We have a bodyguard, she would ask sometimes for 4 years.
4 years into it.
And then when she was single, suddenly, oh, a beam of light came down from the heavens, and next thing you know, true love.
That's it.
Seal must be so angry. Yeah. Gonna reach into his face and pull out a gun. Take him out. I've known him for 4 years. She said he's cared for our entire family, mostly for all four children, helped us tremendously. I trust him. I trust him with my children's life and my vulva, she said.
That doesn't sound normal.
I may have misread that. Okay. She may have said he's a great man. And a great woman is actress Allison Pill from HBO's The Newsroom. I don't know if she's hot or not. I can't decide if she's hot or not.
What?
I think she is in that picture.
She is in that picture, yes. But on the show?
No, she's like, not really.
But then she's got nice boobs. And right. Then she's got kind of squishy
I think
face.
I'm with Bean. I think she's cute.
And then, and sometimes, yeah. And then, ooh. And yeah. Then, sometimes she's shiny. Just saying. She accidentally tweeted a topless photo of herself yesterday morning.
Booby!
To the world.
Well, to her 13,000 followers. And then quickly deleted the photo and tweeted the following message. Ugh, my tech issues have now reached new heights, apparently. How a deletion turned into a tweet. Apologies.
Boobs.
No need to apologize, Allison, because by then, the boob hawks had already swooped down and picked up your picture and put it all over the internet.
Yeah, you can try and delete that, but
that's not going anywhere.
That's not going not anywhere. Do it fast enough.
You punch Allison Pill topless into Google, and my friends, it is there. It is not deleted. There is no delete.
She does have great cans.
She does have pretty nice cans. And then apparently she's doing some movie where she's rocking her cans too.
Dear Wendy. Oh.
What's that?
What?
It's called Dear Wendy from 2005.
Dear Wendy. Ugh. Hand check.
No kidding. What just happened?
What do you think just happened? We just got creepy beans.
The creepy bean.
I think we need a new song that's sweeping the nation. Yeah. The creepy bean.
Look, we live in a world where Mr. Skin exists and does the work for us, so we don't have to. All right.
Yeah, but you don't have to go there all the time.
Wasn't she?
Every actress, every single actress he sees in anything, anywhere, anytime.
It was in the news quite a bit yesterday because of the incident with the Twitter. It was mentioned in a couple of articles that she had previously shown her boobs in a movie called Dear Wendy. That's all.
It definitely makes it not as big a deal.
Yeah.
Dear Wendy!
I've just tried to contribute to the conversation.
Let Ralph finish the sentence. And hey, I think she was in.
It's like he's on a game show. You don't win anything.
Let him finish the sentence.
There's no but buzzer you hit.
Rarely, though, are people talking about something that I have knowledge on. So I just thought I'd try to jump in and help.
That well, try to act like a person when it happens. Do an impression of a human being.
Get me.
What?
Good point.
Do any. And Simon Cowell wants,
Simon Cowell wants
you to wear his headphones.
Nope.
Come on. Wear his headphones.
Yeah, nope. He needs my money.
Don't you want the X headphones named after the X Factor, which debuted last night?
No. Not unless they're porn headphones.
Can I get to hear Britney Spears' critique of the singers in high fidelity if I wear your X headphones, Mr. Cowell? They're $300 a pair. And he says they're the best headphones in the world.
Of course, he's involved.
It was Donald Trump.
He's Donald Trump,
yeah. He said he's tried every other headphone in the world, including Dr. Dre's Beats headphones. But these, by far, are the best. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, this new headphone trend. I don't like it.
Yeah.
We should have Kevin and Bean headphones. We should make those. Out of two tin cans, a piece of string.
Yeah.
Just wrap around your head. And his little arm! Up to her old tricks?
It would appear so.
New York Post page 6 reporting that she blew off rehearsals for her new movie, Scary Movie 5. Flaked out on every meeting and even missed a flight to Atlanta to start shooting. What's going on with her? What's wrong with this? What's this tailspin? You know what it is?
She doesn't have a strong work ethic.
You know what it is, I think, is that she's intimidated by Amanda Bynes.
Could be.
She's afraid she's going to take the title.
That could be.
And so she's trying to defend her
Amanda's
championship.
Amanda's coming on strong.
She's magic. Go to TMZ.com today if you haven't already. A great story about Amanda Bynes, who, by the way, had her license pulled by the DMV because she has two pending hit-and-run charges against her that still have to be sorted out in court. And so the DMV pulled her license. You cannot drive. You are on a suspended license. So she's driving around at night after this happens with her headlights off. And the cops actually pull her over and don't ask for her license. They simply give her a verbal warning and send her on her way.
Hey, your headlights aren't on.
That is a major bullet
yes,
she dodged.
No kidding.
So you think, she goes, whew, that was scary. This is ridiculous. I'm just going to sit my ass at home and wait till this court thing is sorted out and then I'll get my license back and that's when I'll drive again. Nope. TMZ has photos of her not only driving yesterday, I believe, was on her suspended license. But while she's driving, they've got photos of her just taking the biggest toke off a pipe you've ever seen in your life.
Are
behind
you
the wheel.
Serious?
It's nuts.
Yeah, he's serious.
It's, oh, she's got the lighter out. And she's just a big two-hitter. She's just rocking it.
Oh, and then she went
into the Home Depot to get some light bulbs. And the paparazzi went up to the car and started shooting. There's like pot all over the seats, and there's like an AK-47 in there and a grenade launcher. There's parts of a dead body. It's just strewn about with criminal evidence. And she bought her pink light bulbs and hopped back in her car and took off again.
Unbelievable.
Oh, she's the best.
She's daring the police to arrest her.
Yeah.
She has thrown down the gauntlet. She was throwing money out the backseat of her window while she was driving around yesterday. She was driving through Exposition Park, and she was driving $100 bills. She was flying out of the car.
That was a car chase.
While she was...
I don't think that was the same thing.
I do wonder what happens to you if you drive on a suspended license and then encounter the police again.
You go to jail.
Is that what it is?
Yes, on the spot.
Wow.
They pull you out of the car.
Well,
they put you in the back of theirs. That is a crime.
I mean, if TMZ has photos of her driving, it seems like the police could show up today and arrest her for that.
Although they would have to prove when it was, I guess.
She's asking for it, though, man. You're right, Ralph.
She is.
Wow, more money.
And why is she buying pink light bulbs?
Isn't that the least of the questions?
Who needs pink light bulbs? No, it's a big question for me. Where in your home do you say, damn, the pink light bulb has burned out? Where does that happen? In her room?
Maybe. Except for Christmas decorations, there's not a lot of cause for pink light bulbs.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jeffrey Ross is 47 years old today. Steve Perkins, drummer for Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, is 45. Fiona Apple celebrates her 35th birthday today. And Ben Savage from Boy Meets World celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take a Ralph tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. Cousin Sal will be here giving us his picks for the NFL weekend. We have crazy man Jesse Ventura on the show tomorrow.
A little respect for the former governor of the great state of Minnesota, please.
We have crazy former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, on the program tomorrow. We have Ralph's Movie Beat. We're going to talk about Justin Bieber becoming a man and supposedly playing hockey.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Mia Jovovich from Resident Evil Retribution.
Oh, it looks so good.
Tomorrow morning's Kevin.